Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
Well, it's Thursday. You might know what that means. Usually doesn't mean the Mark Order Podcast, but it's the Mark Order Podcast tonight, episode 37. Right now, it's the two live crew, two for me, two for you, Ryan Schlong.
I'm Anthony.
What's up, Ryan?
What's going on? I'm waiting to see Kate pop in at any second.
Yeah, we're... For anybody who's watching us live, thank you for watching. Hello, Jay Shell. Hello, Fran. Kate's coming in. She was having some sort of tech issue. You know, we're not the Fight Club, Ryan.
We are not the Fight Club. Tech issues only for us, not for the important people.
Hi, Mrs. Money. Hello, Nathan. I like the unicorn and the rainbow emoji. That's cool.
Yeah.
And the smiley face too.
I like happy emojis.
Yeah, I love emojis. It's so funny because I was going back and rewatching Curb Your Cutoff. I didn't put the fade.
I love it.
God damn, I gotta put a fade on that. I say it every week. I'm watching Curb Your Enthusiasm. I was going back through and watching some of the old episodes, and there was an episode where he was getting a text, and somebody would always send him like a smiley face, but it wasn't an emoji. It was at the time, Ryan, emoticons. Remember, you'd put the colon, dash, parentheses, and he's like, "Well, pretty soon, that's all we're gonna do when we text each other." Well, yeah, pretty much the goddamn emojis, but I love it.
The day you figured out how to, like, because I'm going to age myself here, but I'm sure lots of, you know, I was probably 13 when I got my first cell phone, a little younger than most, only because at the time, younger than most. Now it's not, but back in the day it was, because I lived far from where all my friends were. So my parents would drop me off and they wanted to have access to me. But when you figured out how to put that dick in emoticons, that was the funniest thing in the world then.
Ryan, I'm going to date myself. Do you remember the old AIM, like AOL chat rooms?
I do.
Yeah. I remember all the bots you used to be able to get, and then you'd be able to spam the rooms and you could draw like a giant picture of Cartman or like a giant dick. You know, that was that's me dating myself there. I had a couple of those bots. Play sounds.
We were annoying.
ASL, Ryan. ASL. Mrs. Money got it at the same time. That's why we're the money couple.
34 male, New Jersey, baby.
Oh, Ryan didn't give us the fake digits. He was like 18 FPA.
Oh, God. No, yeah, it was always because, well, the thing was, it was you and like three of your friends. So it was all dudes. And you're like, who are we fucking with tonight? And you would be like, I'm a single lady.
That's catfish.
Yeah.
It's literally the earliest form of catfishing.
Yeah, it was, but everyone knew it was happening, which is the weirdest part about it. Like, because back then you didn't exchange pictures, you didn't do any of that. So you had none of that. Like, you weren't going on Tinder, you weren't going on these sites. You made up a fake AIM thing and you went at it.
Yeah. Missed the days of the away message and the screen names. I remember my screen name. Missed 0622. That was it.
It was rhyming with a lot of zeros, and then, but it's gone now anyway.
Was it like lowercase x, uppercase x, capital R, lowercase y, capital A?
It was Ryan, a shit ton of zeros, and then a number 5.
Oh boy.
but now it's gone.
Ryan 0000005. Wow. Well, I mean, I guess
smoking dude 42069, baby.
That's it. It's just a lot of 69s and 420s. But
my God.
I guess we should mention again, this is the Mark Order podcast. Whoa, I almost made a big mistake there. Mark Order podcast. Oh, Ryan, was your screen name Schlong Style 69?
No, I wasn't that clever back then.
Mrs. Money had a good one. You can make that now. Get on. Open up a Twitter machine and Schlong Style 69.
I'm afraid of what that would invite.
Well, it's time for a social experiment. I think if we think Ryan should start a Twitter, Schlong Style 69, you could let us know in the chat. And we'll definitely let us know if you think that's a good idea. But it is the Mark Order podcast. We are live on a Thursday night. Right now, the two live crew, we're waiting for Kate to jump in. We're live on a Thursday because three quarters of us were at Dynamite last night. In Strong Island. Millionaire Matt was there. Kate was there. I was there. Ryan Schlong was not. And even though, before we get to where is Matt, Ryan Schlong, before we get to where is Matt, I just want to make sure the people know out there, you were definitely invited numerous times.
I don't recall.
Yeah. Okay.
There, no matter if you how many provide times. Any text evidence, it is fabricated.
Oh, bull.
You guys know Photoshop quite well.
I don't know Photoshop at all.
I haven't figured it out once. Like
I know that you were invited when tickets went on sale originally. You said no, thank you. Then at another point, I think you were asked, "Hey, would you like to?" And then you said, "Nicely, might I say?" You said, "No, thank you." And then even last minute, we had a ticket open up and you were asked and you said, "I really appreciate it, but no, thank you. It's a school night and I'm not driving, you know, like 3 hours one way just to see Dynamite." So you were missed. We always invite you. We always want you with us.
Listen, it might sound familiar now, but I can't promise come this weekend when you guys are all at Final Battle that I won't start saying again that I wasn't invited. I just can't promise these things.
Oh, Ryan is invited everywhere. Ryan had the opportunity to do Final Battle as well and turned us down. I mean, we can't get him to leave his man cave, quite literally his man cave, if you're looking at his background.
Got Too Cold Scorpio. I forgot the mirroring. Backwards. Either way, got Buff Bagwell and Too Cold Scorpio.
I mean, we can't get you to leave the man cave. We've invited you out.
No, there's a good chance I go to Atlantic City.
Yeah, that I think is definitely one that you need to make yourself available for. That is like pretty close to you.
Yeah, I mean that's an hour if that, like, you know, that's a drivable distance for me. So yeah, to not go to that would be stupid.
Yeah, well, those tickets go on sale the 17th. We're gonna try to make that happen. This is nice, Matt. Raikiel saying, looking forward to meeting you guys Saturday. Well, Millionaire Matt, myself, and Kate will be in attendance at Final Battle this weekend. You know, hit us up on our socials. Let us know where and when you'll be. We'll have some stickers and whatnot, but we're going to be hanging out.
You know who won't be there?
Who?
Bandito.
Oh, that's true. Well, that's... that's breaking news. We weren't going to talk about that, but Bandito won't be there. But you know what? I appreciate that he won't be there because he tested positive for COVID. So, look who decides to join.
Hello, hello, hello.
Oh, finally.
What's going on?
Real quick, while Kate familiarizes herself, I want to say, hold on. Hi, Carissa.
Hi, oh, Carissa. Hi.
And then this is true, and I think everyone should know, JCL did give me a fun assignment this week. I don't think she knew what she was doing. Yeah. She asked for my opinion.
This is quickly just going to turn into Ryan say what's up to all of his ladies out there. He's the only one who's...
Matt, some of them are girls, so let's be careful. But
yeah, let's be very fair.
I'm sorry, but they are ladies.
when you're 17, you're still a girl.
Yeah, gals. No.
We'll call them gals.
Okay.
I like
your lady. As long as just don't do anything stupid.
We're all very popular now. So we're going to keep up with the chat. Everybody loves us. We're a lot of
fun. Nobody says hi to me. Just Mrs. Money, but I'll take it.
Real quick, Nathan, how did you get kicked out of her space? This deserves at least a line that we can come back to.
Fair enough.
Kid, I also asked Mrs. Money if she wanted to come on tonight to do a little talking, but she said...
A little Tony Nese conversation,
that's
perhaps?
Exactly what I said. And she said, what more do you need to know? Look at him.
You know what? That's a very fair point.
That's right. She's talking about skill. She's talking about skill, nothing else. Just
definitely not.
Oh, I'm talking about lots of other things.
Well, all right. Way to go, Ryan.
Them abs, boy.
Yeah. By the way, rocking them.
Oh,
nice. Very the wingman shirt. I'm rocking a Mr. Rogers sweater situation. Yeah.
I like it. I like it. Got the bangs going.
I got my hair done today.
Oh, I'm getting my hair did tomorrow before our big trip.
Well, oh, so thanks, cute Asian for Jonathan Joe. Gresham.
I will. Thanks, Asian Joe. My beard is looking very beardly. I'm going to get it a little slim down.
I didn't
tomorrow.
Do my hair.
Get a little slimmed down tomorrow, and I'll be good to go. But
nice.
So, Kate, we were just talking a little bit about the fact that Ryan's a liar because we invited him numerous times to come to.
Oh my God! Did
Dynamite.
We ever, Ryan?
I don't recall. I don't recall.
Yourself. I've got receipts, buddy. Okay, this was.
Well.
You've been invited. You declined because you're a coward and you didn't think you would be able to do so on a weekday after having already driven home from Arthur Ashe the same night that you left. You were Long Island is a little far.
That honestly was one of the biggest decisions was like that was I was asked the night of the Arthur Ashe. I was like, oh, this is even an hour farther than this?
Yeah, that's a long day.
That's going to be tough.
Well,
oh, thanks, Kevin. Well, I fixed my router because I don't broadcast from a basement. All I had to do was reset it, so it should be good to go moving forward.
If anything, KJG, she's in an attic, so it's not necessarily.
I'm
a basement.
In my office. I finally moved in here.
Could be an attic office.
That's true. It could be, but my attic is just full of summer clothes now because all the Christmas stuff came down last week, and I am decorated.
Well, that's good to hear. But Kate, we did invite Ryan numerous times.
Yes, we did.
I went through the numerous times that we invited him, and you know, he's maintaining his, you know, his story that we just didn't invite him, and he also is maintaining that we didn't invite him to that he didn't get invited to Ring of Honor.
Invited him to Ring of Honor like every other day.
No, yeah. I think that was the cruise. I think that was the Jericho cruise.
Also that.
Yeah.
Persistent.
It was Ring of Honor that we did invite you to, Ryan.
I will say this. I'm going to deny saying this, so no one clip this, cut this. It never happened. I wish I could actually go. I don't regret not going last night because the drive is just too insane for me. Ring of Honor, if there wasn't a work thing in the way, I absolutely would have went. Because maybe I wouldn't have gone, because who's going to replace Bandido, everyone?
Oh, we can talk about that later. But, excuse me, it will be fun to head back to Baltimore one more time in this era. And then we'll have to see what happens to Ring of Honor.
Before I logged on. Oh, go ahead. Hi, Jay Shell.
I was just going to say, because we were talking about where we're going at all. Jay Shell, Atlanta's kind of far for us.
No. That is far for her, too. She's in Rhode Island.
She's going to school there soon, so she's like, yeah, I got to learn the area.
Yeah, but still, like, I'll do New York, Philly, Maryland. I'm not traveling for Terminus. That's far. Hi, Buster.
If I could find a reason to be in Atlanta, I'd definitely... You know, check it out if I were there, but I won't be in Atlanta. So,
drivable is good. Getting on a plane, is a different scenario. But I was just gonna say, before I got onto the stream, did you talk about Matt's threshold of when he exactly turns into your child? Because we found that out yesterday.
We didn't talk about anything with the trip yet, because I was waiting for you.
Thank you.
We're getting there. The big question, though, is where is Matt? And Rob Humphrey, I do see your question in the chat. We'll get to that as we get into this the discussion here. But where is Matt? I mean, I don't even know if, Kate, I want to make anything up here, like breaking down the fourth wall here. You know, sometimes we, you know, we're working when we say where Matt is. But Matt's reason for being absent tonight in text message was so funny to me that I just, Matt was like, boy, they're really fucking me because I took off Wednesday and this weekend. To which I said, why would you take off this weekend? And he reminded me, Ring of Honor.
Like, Ring of Honor, stupid.
Yeah. And it's on my calendar. So I will say this. Matt is not here because he's actually slinging pies tonight. He's working. I think he's at the zoo tonight. So maybe he's not working. Maybe he's just stuck in a cage. But
same thing for him.
Yeah, I guess. So Matt's not with us tonight. Hopefully he's back with us next week. So because Kate, I'm sure there might be a hotel haunting that we have to talk about next
dun,
week.
Done, done. So we are staying at a different hotel this time.
Well, the ghost could follow. And for
it's
anybody
not far. Who, like all those hotels are very close to each other, so they could all be haunted. Yeah.
Totally. And if you're wondering what we're talking about, last time we went down to Baltimore for Ring of Honor, we stayed in a haunted hotel room. You can find that in the archives at jointhemarkorder.com. So definitely go back and check it out. But Kate, would you like to let the people know how long it takes for Matt to turn into an absolute child?
It takes around 2 hours. He's kind of always a child, but when we went to Ring of Honor on our mega day of Adventure Day fun, when we went to the baseball game and then we went to the show, he at night, and he had been working, so he works on a pizza truck, and between COVID reschedules of things and just regular summer schedule, like he was just so exhausted going into it that he crashed so hard. You would have thought he was hammered. He was not. But when we were all trying to go to bed, and also in between the baseball game and the show, when he showered and was just talking to himself, not singing in the shower, talking to himself in the shower, which was like my favorite.
Okay. That was after the show, after the baseball game. He said he could not shower before the show because he didn't want to be late. And we were still there like an hour and a half early.
Okay. All right. That's right. It is funny how much he talks to himself like in a very playful way, not like in a I wonder if something's wrong with Matt. He just is like doo dee da do like all the time. But there was a point very close to when we were approaching the arena that something switched, and I was like, whatever time it is, however long we've been together, this is how long it takes for Matt to turn into a kid and Aunt to also go into dad mode, which was very fun. And it was around the 2 hour mark, so I'm gonna see if that holds up, because we are taking one car this time to Ring of Honor. Uh-huh. And I am intrigued, but it's very funny how much it levels up.
So the other thing we need to we said this about our last trip, but you weren't in the car, and now you were in the car this time. You did see that whenever Matt and I are in the car, Matt asks me about what's going on in pop culture.
Pop culture.
Because Matt doesn't know about anything. We found out Matt doesn't know anything about Megan Thee Stallion. And while I don't know much, I know that she's got that one song that we were talking about yesterday. Saturday. I know she's got a few songs, but yeah. You know, she's got that one big song, and she's got that chicken sandwich at Popeyes.
That's what started the conversation. That's right.
That is. And
but
Matt
didn't know she existed. Like, no idea.
He was also very annoyed that her name wasn't Meg Thee Stallion. And I said,
it was Megan.
It's Megan. And he got very annoyed that I kept correcting him. But I said, you sound like an idiot. Which, I mean, again, most of the time. But
on par. Yeah.
You know.
But as someone who's just Kate, I'm like, I get it. If you want to be Megan, you be Megan and not Meg. Not Meg. Like, not Meg. No. And the first time He didn't know about the royal family.
Yes, that's right.
We got to Camden Yards. I was not in the car, and he just started telling me things about the royal family, and I was like, what? And then Aunt explained to me that they had a lovely conversation in the car right now. Because he did not know that Meghan and Harry had peaced out.
Yeah. He was asking me about gridlock alerts. Like, I work for the New York Department of Transportation.
Aunt, what's that about? Why is there a gridlock alert?
I don't know. And then I had to Google it and tell him. Like,
it was so funny.
See, you're saying he turns into a child. This sounds more like he's an 85-year-old man.
No.
No, I think the hotel room after, when he just started laughing to himself out of nowhere, and it was because he was thinking about the idea of, like, what would happen if he just, like, army bear crawled into the room. Like, I had a bed, Aunt had a bed, Matt had the pull-out couch, and there was a divider in between. And he just also started giggling to himself, like, out loud. And at just the idea of getting on the ground and bear crawling into our room and nothing else. Like, he had just completely lost it.
I should also say, I offered for Matt to sleep in a bed with me. I have no problem.
Oh, not that
and
far.
I even said, Kate, if you want to share a bed, fine. Like, whatever. I don't care. Like, I'm an adult. We can share a bed. And Matt was like, no, I'll sleep on the couch. And I was
so
like,
that
okay.
He could complain about it.
Right.
Like, please.
Right. He complained that he wasn't in the same room. I mean, Ryan, it was a half a dividing wall.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
And
I almost want to be in a different room.
Yeah. I mean, the commentary of just Matt, like, he just at one point goes, do you guys have dreams?
That's it. That was the question. Do you guys have dreams? He was also upset, Kate, that remember his TV? Literally, Ryan, he had a television and then, like, he had a television, and then, like, literally there was, like, I'd say 2 feet. Hey, Buster. There was 2 feet, and then it was the doorway to get to the bathroom. And then on the other side of that doorway was another television. The TVs were literally, like, 4 feet away from each other, and he was complaining that his TV wasn't working. So we turned our TV on to whatever he wanted to see, and then he complained he couldn't see. And I said, well, you can come over here. And he said, no, I'm in bed. So, you know, it's Millionaire Matt. He's got a high, you know, he's got kind of a high standard to hit. Although at the time, I don't think he was Millionaire Matt.
No, he was just regular Thousandaire Matt.
Yeah, maybe even Hundredaire. He's certainly come into his own.
And before we left for our trip, we got to go inside Matt's house into his figure hall arena, and we saw all the ROH Pillow Buddies lined up on his couch like they were there to watch a show. It was
sort of creepy. Yeah.
He definitely talks to them, right?
Oh yeah. I think it's very easy to say, Kate, that when he's in that room setting up his figures in a very particular way in those detolfs, he is definitely talking to that whole group of Pillow Buddies.
Oh my
God. Addressing them by name. He's just like, God damn it, PCO, just give me a second. And he's like, not now, Brody King. Let me just set this guy up. And I did, we did sort of threaten, right, Kate, to like shake one of those detolfs, but Matt told us it would be an hour before he could leave because he'd have to set them all up again.
It's true.
Yeah.
It is true. It was a great time, and it'll be a great time on Saturday. Whoa.
Yes.
What do you think?
It'll be a lot of fun. I know that somewhere along the chat here, I wish I could find it to give
I do like that Rob Humphrey said it sounds like Matt's the one that's haunted and not the hotel. That's a very good point. He watches a lot of murder shows as well. So it might be Matt more than the hotel. We'll find out this weekend. Hopefully we live to tell the story.
Very true. I think it was Matt Reichiel asked how the UBS arena is. So for some reason, I kept wanting to say the USB arena, but I just was like, we got to get to the stadium. So I didn't have to say UBS arena. But the arena is very nice. It is kind of weird. You know, like Kate, I had kind of said, it's sort of like the Prudential Center. Like it's just in the middle of like whatever surrounding, but literally it just jumped up out of nowhere and it's gigantic. But we were like
not
driving.
Literally. It didn't literally jump. That would be terrifying.
No, correct. But as we were driving, all of a sudden you're like, oh, there it is. Like it just comes up out of nowhere.
Part of it was the way we went. I'm assuming there was traffic. But it really was like, turn down this road. Oh, there's the arena. But when we were leaving, it looked like it was off a major highway. So I think we just took like a funky approach to it. But I would say overall, the arena was great. Long Island, mid the part that we were in. So just saying. MJF overrates his hometown pretty significantly. But the arena was really nice. We hung out and played some shuffleboard and grab some drinks beforehand at their little bar downstairs, which was great. They had a really fun game room. What else? Yeah, it was pretty. We got upgraded by Matt to the Verizon Club gimmick.
Which he's a millionaire.
He is a millionaire, so he upgraded us, which had unlimited hot dogs, which Matt had four of in about 3 minutes, and a lot of other food. There is no video of me eating hot dog this time. I will say this.
I was there. I watched her eat it. Ate the hot dog the right way this time. She's learned her lesson. What Kate did not learn is how to properly open a bun, because these were top split buns, Ryan, and she's peeling the side open like an animal, like a common savage.
I just wanted to eat my hot dog. I didn't really care how it went in.
Why was she peeling the bun?
So, you know, normally the hot dog bun opens from the side, right?
I have no idea what you're talking about. The bun?
You know a hot dog bun when you get it, like, from the supermarket, right?
Yes.
When you take a hot dog bun out of the bag, like a Wonder Bread hot dog bun, it usually opens up from the side.
Okay.
These were split top buns. So the bun opened on top. I can't really make the motion, but it opened on top.
But don't they put the hot dog in the bun for you?
No. So it was, you know, they had a tray of hot dogs, then buns.
I don't like that gimmick.
Well, either way, maybe some people.
It's serious, Harry.
Listen.
It was like buffet style.
Yeah, it was a buffet.
Goddamn hot dog in the bun for me.
I don't want other people's mitts on my hot dog bun. Get out of here.
Oh, that's right. You guys were in the Verizon Club, so it's a little different.
Listen. Yes, it wasn't like we were ordering it from the stand. They would then put it in a bun for you. This was VIP experience where you're at a buffet. Maybe you don't want a bun. Maybe you're trying to be carb smart and you just want to take on all the sodium that the hot dog has to offer you. But for some reason, these were split top buns and Kate couldn't get it. So she was just peeling it from the side like a commoner. She really showed her non-VIP status. But
I don't care this much about how I eat a hot dog. You guys do, because you're weird.
You ate the hot dog right. What's weird is the fact that clearly LSG doesn't know how to eat bananas.
That's real weird.
That is weird.
I mean, horizontal banana is weird. It's weirder than me and my hot dog.
It's both equally weird, but you've learned how to eat a hot dog. LSG,
he consistently eats bananas like that. Like a weirdo.
Yeah, that's weird. Anyway, so we did get upgraded, as Kate said, Ryan. So after we left the bar that's, you know, attached to the arena, which also, Ryan, had bubble hockey, which was a lot of fun. So we went in. It's a beautiful arena, and we're trying to go to this section. They said go to section 108 for the Verizon Club, and we get there, and it's a wall. There's nothing there. It's just a wall. And so we go into the section. And, you know, there's some arenas where you go past the wall to the section and the top level of the section is like a bar or a club, right? Not the case. It's just seats. So we ask the usher, excuse me, sir, can you help us find the Verizon Club? And I think his first answer was, I've never heard of that, which is a little weird. It's a new stadium. So he pulls out a piece of paper with a map and he's looking at it for like 5 minutes and he doesn't know what he's doing. So we grab a second usher And he goes, oh, it's section 108, 109. And we're looking like, what the fuck is going on? And he goes, oh, yeah, go down to the bottom. They'll take care of you. So we go to the bottom of the section. Now we're at the floor. We say, hello, new usher. We're trying to access the Verizon Club. And they go, I don't know what you're talking about. So let's cut now ahead 10 minutes. They've now grabbed a gentleman in a suit who looks very important. And he goes, can I see your tickets? And we show him our tickets. And he goes, hang on, I've got to call somebody, which, again, never a good sign.
You better call somebody.
That's right. So he's calling on the thing. And he goes, just take a seat in this row. He goes, because usually this row, like the first three rows of this section, that's the Verizon Club. And we're like, what the fuck? But I think we all looked at each other and basically we're just like, shut up. Because if they give us these seats, we're going to sit. Like, you know, we had seats that were good, but these were better. So we were just like, everybody shut up. Let's see what happens. And the guy came back in like 5 minutes and basically was like, do you have another ticket? And I was like, oh, I didn't realize I had two tickets, but I need to get to this Verizon Club because there's free food and drinks. So he goes, oh, the club is down here. So you had to go on the floor, down a corridor, loop around to the back of like this wall to get into this Verizon Club. And they put on fancy wristbands, none of that paper joint. It was like a...
No, pain in the ass to get off yesterday.
It was. I had to take scissors to it. So we couldn't even rip it off when we got to the car. But...
Your Leatherman gimmick didn't work?
I didn't try it because... I just waited till I got home. But once you got in the club, Ryan, it was fancy pants. Free food, free drinks. It was good. Millionaire Matt took care of us.
Your pants got fancy. It was like a whole thing.
That's right.
Very nice.
No Eddie Kingston, though. Much to my dismay.
Yeah, we were hoping to see Eddie in catering.
Eating cake. The dessert situation was out of control. Cookies.
Yeah.
Little tarts. Amazing. That's right. Really good shit.
That's right.
Such good shit.
And then we sat down for the show. The only bummer for that was we tried to go back out to the floor, and the lady's like, well, your seats aren't on the floor. And we were like, but we can go that way. And she was like, you can't go that way. You've got to go around the back, up the stairs, and walk the concourse to your seats. I'm like, come on.
I did not sign up for Legends of the Hidden Temple. I signed up for the Verizon Club, my friends.
That's right. So we did walk up back upstairs, make our way to our seats. It wasn't too far. Like, we didn't have to walk across the stadium, so that was good. But we went to our seats. Our seats were very good.
It wasn't that they asked us to go around. It was that they got very high and mighty for a Verizon Club that they didn't know existed.
That's right. Like, it was like, it's your problem. I'm like, that's not my problem.
Like, hey, this is your job.
So we did get to our seats.
Four hot dogs in a very short period of time.
I mean, you blinked and they were gone. I don't know if he ate them or if he threw them away.
He probably was scared of being judged and chastised. Kate,
you've heard the Greg story, right?
Of course I have.
What he did with the hot dogs? He's
probably still listening because we haven't started talking about wrestling.
That's why. He was texting me that Rutgers beat Purdue, so that's big.
Seen Hall one today.
I know, but Rutgers was unranked. Purdue was one.
Purdue was one. Damn.
Yes. So he ate 10 hot dogs before halftime at a basketball game.
Oof.
So that is a feat I've never seen matched.
Greg did some impressive shit back in the day. I'm just going to say he still does, but like, college Greg did some work.
I do feel a little bit bad. I mean, it was Dollar Dog Night, so they bought him the dog, so we didn't waste money, but our seats were on the floor. We were like the second row in. So like, he didn't get to enjoy such awesome seats nearly as much as he should have because he was in pain.
It's just not thinking. I will say this.
Out for Greg Aarons.
That, well, from what I hear. I can say this, that at Matt's first birthday bash, because, you know, he celebrated big. He's a millionaire. Right. When we went to Citi Field for the Met game, he was working on doing a dog an inning. And the only reason he didn't finish is because all of the other food in the suite was so good that, like, you know, you just pretty much gorged yourself. But he probably had four or five hot dogs in addition to, like, the chicken sandwich, the sliders, the chips and all, the popcorn, all that kind of stuff.
here's the only thing I'm going to say. Four hot dogs, like when there's Dollar Dog Night, that's, I do that without thinking because I'm trying to get my money's worth.
I mean, I haven't been to a Dollar Dog Night in a long time. Kate, those hot dogs last night were pretty freaking big.
Now that's the...
They were big. Okay, in Binghamton, the Rumble Ponies, who used to be the Binghamton Mets when we were normal, they had Dollar Dog Night, and they had a guy. Binghamton is quote-unquote known for its carousels. And they had a guy that would go out there in like a carousel mascot and throw wrapped, but throw hot dogs into the crowd for
really, dollars. I just want to say, Binghamton really is the Midwest of the Northeast.
It really, really is. I say it's like a southern town without any of the charm, but like it's kind of, it is mid.
It is like you have Wisconsin in New York. I've never.
It's very odd. But yeah, there was a hot dog horse and we would like.
Hot dog horse.
Yeah. It would be a carousel horse, because that's what Binghamton was known for.
Okay.
Cool.
Oh, my God.
And he would throw hot dogs into the crowd. And we were like, is that guy's whole job? He was always hanging around. We didn't know what else he did at the stadium.
Matt's favorite mascot, the Fanatic, shoots him out of a gun.
Shoots hot dogs out of a gun?
The Fanatic?
He has a hot dog gun. The Fanatic has a hot dog gun on Dollar Dog Night. Just comes out and just shoots. It's like the same theory as a t-shirt gun, except it shoots hot dogs.
Pew, 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 pew.
Oh my God. That sounds terrifying. Well, I think after four hot dogs, Matt made his way to the, we all made our way to the seats, and yes, Agent Joe, we were seemingly walking more than Lord of the Rings. But we did get to our seats. Matt was happy because we were there before Dark started.
We were.
He got to see Dark. In case nobody maybe gets it, Matt is a little, Kate, what's the right word? Anal retentive.
Fickle.
Fickle's a good one. About
finicky.
Being in a very specific place by a certain time, no matter what he's doing, right? So like,
in his defense, at AEW Newark, we missed Dark. Well, he missed all of Dark because there was a fourth person who was coming in on a train. So he mm-hmm. missed like Dark and a bunch of people that like we recognize. And we recognize some people.
Yeah. No, I mean,
Prince Nana was there.
Mm-hmm.
Gabby Ortiz was there. Who was the Sweet Cheeks guy from, I forget his name.
I don't remember.
It's a
blur for me. But
Matt wanted to be in our seats by Dark.
Yeah. Oh, Matt needs to be at the arena for opening. So it's like, okay, the arena opens at 6. So we should leave the house at 9 a.m., right?
Yeah, he's one of those.
Okay.
He's one of those.
So Matt is very, and then it's like, especially for baseball too, he's got to be there for first pitch. If he's not there for first pitch, it ruins everything. Now, listen, I'm sort of with Matt. I'd like to be there for the start of the game, but it won't ruin the whole experience. If I miss the first pitch.
Your whole life. It is That's Joey right. Silver. Thank you. I kept thinking because John Silver is on the roster that I was like, it's not Joey Silver. I'm making that up. Thank you, Jay Shell.
Credit.
This was like not the greatest episode of Dark, I felt like. But it's Dark.
We'll let Ryan cover it Monday on Twitter. We're not going to steal his thunder.
I will say, I'll cover it, but I will say Elevation has been weird lately because they've really shortened that.
Yeah, it also started late. Like, we were in our seats by the time it was supposed to start, and it started probably 5-10 minutes after that.
Yeah.
But the studio darks have been amazing. So it's like they've taken a weird turn in quality where Elevation used to be like the it show for their YouTube shows, and now it's kind of flipped again. But I'll judge
them. They're the unleavened ones.
That's right.
It was that gun club match. I was like, why are people tagging in to not do anything? That was the one that got me the most.
Well, that's early on in the night when we knew Rick Knox wasn't going to have a good night. Oh, wait, no, that wasn't Rick Knox. That was Aubrey. But we still saw Rick Knox early enough to know it's going to be a rough night for Ricky.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun. And then obviously afterwards, Kate and I planned. We had snacks.
We did have snacks.
Drinks. We were good. Of course, I fell asleep on the way home. I was lying every time Matt was like, this guy's sleeping. I'm like, I'm wide awake. I hear everything. No, I was sleeping. That's why I don't drive anywhere at night. Like road tripping, if somebody's like, you want to drive overnight? I'm like, nope, because I will fall asleep at the wheel. But it was a lot of fun. If you have a chance to check out the UBS Arena, it's very nice.
It is.
Very
big.
It's very big.
It was. The racetrack is right there. And we
from
think
what we
that
could tell,
there's a lot of space that wasn't like seated arena space in that building too. Mm-hmm. Like that there's obviously a practice rink in there or something. Like it's a really big physical building.
Yeah, very large footprint, but very nice. Kid, I don't know
very
about
evil.
You, but I
very nice, evil. Very evil. Yeah.
Yes. Kid, I don't know about you, but I thought it was like one of those the aesthetic of the stadium was like very much on par with a lot of places that they build them now where it's like it's going to be completely modern, but it's going to sort of look like a throwback.
Yeah.
You know, like to an old stadium, right? So it was a lot of brick and like subway tile. It was really nice. It really was a really nice arena. So you should definitely check it out if you're in the area. But if you have to take a long trip, you can probably wait till you're in the area. Like, it's just always a pain in the ass to get to Long Island.
Yeah, I was really glad we left very early. Rob Humphrey asking about the merch line. The merch line was not insane this time, and neither were the concessions. We should say that it was not sold out either. Like, it was not a sold out building. So that probably helps, but it did seem like they had their shit together way more than Newark or Arthur Ashe, which is good, because that sucked. Like, I missed a whole Dante Martin match trying to just, like, get some damn chicken tenders. But we also don't fully know because we had Verizon Club access.
That's right.
So we were not among the plebes that had to wait in concession lines.
No, no. We got what we wanted when we wanted it.
Yeah, we did.
So, lady and gent, I think we should maybe just recap last week's Rampage. We will preview this week's Rampage a little later. Kate, I'm not going to spoil anything because I'm fun, and I think if you want to spoil it, go find it yourself. I'm not going to spoil it for you.
Look, there's one major thing to talk about on Dark, and it doesn't have to do with a win or a loss. It has to do with the debut.
It's Rampage, and we'll talk about it later, but we're not going to spoil it.
Right, exactly.
We're going to get there.
We will.
Last week's Rampage, though, let's talk about that a little bit. Led off with the TNT championship match, Sammy Guevara versus the premier athlete, Tony Nese.
Is your wife still in the chat? This is money. This is your
money. No, she's looking up Tony Nese videos.
Accurate.
I don't see her in the chat, but that doesn't mean she's not. But anyway, Sammy Guevara unfortunately did wind up defeating Tony Nese. And I say unfortunately only because, in this house, Tony Nese is number one now.
You say unfortunately because there's something around that. You wanted to see something around that waist because you wanted there to be a barrier between what's below his waist and your wife.
Well,
let's be honest.
You know, he's no Finn Balor. He's no Eggplant Club, but I'm sure that it's okay. The abs and apparently the legs make up for it. Apparently the legs are very big in this house.
He's got really that luscious hair.
No, it's not the hair. Not the hair.
Maybe not for her.
I'm waiting in so I can whisper this. It's the legs. For some reason, it's the legs. And I guess that's okay. Because I think the only thing I've got going on is legs. So I'm okay with it.
And you did see Tony Nese up close and personal at WrestlePro 2 weeks ago?
We did, yes, and he looked good. So Tony Nese wound up losing this match to Sammy Guevara. Guys, I thought that was a fun match, and Tony Nese looked good. I mean, it looked like a really hard-hitting match.
Yes.
I just knew when they kind of announced this, like, this is going to be good. So I'm glad. It didn't disappoint me. Maybe you guys saw something I didn't.
I think people are starting to see how good Tony Nese really is. Like, he was great in the Cruiserweight division and WWE, but was just kind of floating around in oblivion, as most of the 205 Live division was, before it's seemingly demolished. So, he's great. He's a really, really great wrestler. And it's nice to see him be able to stretch those sexy, sexy legs in a lot of ways. And Sammy Guevara is so, I've said it before, I feel like if Darby Allin wasn't there, he would be this company's Darby Allin. Like, I think he's a really good opponent for someone whose skill set, like a skill set like Nice has. Like, their styles are similar enough where it meshes well, but different enough that Sammy's like a little bit more of a maniac and Nice is a little bit more grounded. So sometimes that just allows opportunities for really fun, like, psychological, like, smart plays that you don't see a lot. Like, Sammy hit him with the go to hell and he countered by just like grabbing his leg on the way down. That was a really smart counter. So I really liked that match. I thought it was great.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Shlong, what did you think of this one?
I really enjoyed the match. I love Sammy Guevara. I think his style is really, I don't say it's unique because obviously he's a quick moving, slightly high flying guy, but I think the way he delivers certain moves is different than the way most people deliver them. I wish we'll speak more about on about what happened on Dynamite, about where his title reign is going. I want more of these matches because this is, to me, the advantage of the TNT title, where you have guys like Tony Nese come in, have these banger matches with Sammy, and then Tony didn't win, but he doesn't come out a loser. Like, you now love Tony, and you're like, let's go see Tony versus Lee Moriarty, Tony versus whoever. So you want to see more of them. That's kind of why I'm promoting my bangers division, because if you're not going to put the TNT title up because this is really what, I mean, I'm speaking more to the actual point, which is the TNT title needs to be used. It's how we got Eddie Kingston. It's how we got Ricky Starks. It made Miro, like, in this company. It's supposed to take guys to that next level. And I love Sammy. And if he had more matches like this, it would absolutely take him to that next level, because he can deliver on that stage.
It also lets you know that the guys who are coming into the company are important enough to be title worthy if they're in a bout for it. So to your point, it's not only like that it's made stars who are coming into the company. If they're already signed, it's just a good way to let you know, like, hey, they're viable contenders. This is probably about where they're going to be in the card for a little bit. Like, it's just a smart way of telling your audience very quickly, like, Bobby Fish going to be hanging around that level, not challenging for the title, but hanging around there. Tony Nese, same thing. So I'm with you, and it sounds like we might be getting more American Top Team.
we'll talk about that.
But this is what I wanted to see the entire time that Sammy was gummed up in that angle, was more stuff like this. This is supposed to be the workhorse title. Make it that.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about Sammy, as Ryan said, in his next challenge when we get into Dynamite. But the next match we got was Jade Cargill versus Jenai Kai. And that was pretty much exactly what we thought it was going to be. Straight squash. Jade Cargill beats Jenai Kai. But what happens afterwards is really, I think, what most people were talking about. Jade attacks Jenai Kai with another pump kick to sort of taunt Thunder Rosa, who then comes down from the commentary table to storm the ring. And they get into a brawl. Officials come in and, kind of pull them apart. And they kind of start to go back and forth a little bit. So clearly we're building this this match against Jade and Thunder Rosa, which everybody is really dying for. And we talked about this last week, and we've been kind of talking about this whole TBS tournament. I mean, listen, I'm excited for this match, but I need to see Jade hold her own in the ring with Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa can't carry her the whole way. I think it's very clear, at least to me, that Jade is going to win this match and move on and probably win this title. So I need to see Jade show up in this match with Thunder Rosa. And it can't just be Thunder Rosa kind of carrying this whole match, as we've sometimes seen her do in some of her dark matches with some other talent. Anything you guys want to expand on this or the whole storyline going on here for the tournament?
No, I think you're right. I think Jade is going to win this, and Thunder is going to dethrone Britt. I'm not, like, encouraged by what I've seen with Jade. Like, even in the squash, she missed a pretty nasty pump kick, like, and Jenai Kai sold it really late. I guess they just weren't on the same page about what was happening there, but, like, I'm not... I can buy into the fact that Jade is a champion in every way except for when she gets in the ring, which is not great for like the workhorse title. So if she wins it, it's got to be a quick drop. I feel like if you made this your original plan, no one's going to hate you if you give it to Ruby Soho instead. Like, Jade is not, she's just not there.
I agree. I mean, this is the shame to me is that I think, I'll say again, Jade is better suited for the main title because you defend it once, you know, a month, if that. So she doesn't have to have a ton of matches. Her whole reign could be who can beat her. And that title isn't supposed to be defended as much. Whereas I want the TBS title to be defended, maybe not weekly, but every other week at least, kind of like during Miro's run of the TNT. Like we just spoke, I don't think the TNT's defended enough. I want that defended more. Jade, the reason I was disappointed in this match was, listen, I expected it to be a squash. I kind of hoped it wasn't because then it would give me hope that when Jade wins, they would let her have a similar to the TNT thing, which is they bring in challengers, she has a match, and they leave. She's kind of a weird situation where she is a complete, like you said, Kate, everything about her is champion except for her ring work. So you can't, you don't want to let her go out and have a ton of matches on TV that are bad because it will destroy the aura about her. It will destroy the aura around her that she's, you know, this, she's that bitch. Like if she goes out and has stinker after stinker, so you have to protect her that way. But if you don't let her get more reps, especially TV reps where she can get used to the camera angles and all that, how's she going to get better? It's like her character and her wrestling skill didn't develop at the same speed and it's put them in a weird position.
You know, it's just one of those, it's one of those situations where it's like, I'm with you, Ryan. Like it's one of those weird positions where, you know, like Jade is clearly has the look and you don't want to see them just like push the look, right? They have to push the talent. And the hope is that maybe we see something like we saw out of, some of the other women we've talked about, right? Like Nyla Rose, we saw Nyla in matches that were absolute terrible, but then she's put in the right position and she sort of holds her own and takes off. I think that's the hope with Jade. I'm not confident just yet, that we're getting that, but we'll see what happens. So, let's move on from, that. And, we got a couple more promos. There was a promo earlier about, Jurassic Express. I wanted to call them, Lucha
I do
Express
all the time.
For something.
Everyone does.
I know. But Jurassic Express earlier on was with Christian. They were saying they're going to be watching the tag team match very closely for Bastard Pack and Penta versus FTR. Okay. And then after this match, we got Adam Cole and the Super Click were saying how annoyed at Orange Cassidy they were. So there was going to be a match on Dark, you know. On Dynamite. And then Eddie Kingston cuts a promo. And this is the reason I'm not skipping over these promos, because Kate loves Eddie Kingston so much. We just can't skip over it. But Eddie doesn't care that 2.0 and Daniel Garcia beat up Jericho. He does care that they tried to beat him up after his last match, or if there's match last week. So Kingston is definitely going to teach them that they reap what they sow. So Kate, I know we got a little bit of stuff this week on Dynamite we're going to talk about, so I don't know if you necessarily have anything to comment here, if you want to hold it till later, but I leave it to you. Do you want to comment now on Eddie Kingston, or do you want to hold it?
We can hold it till later. I'm very excited about what might be coming down the pike and feel kind of silly for not seeing what it could potentially be.
Yeah, absolutely. So then let's skip ahead. We get to the main event. There's the Mark Henry interview that's now become such a great part of Rampage. Oh, yes, Kate, I'm sorry.
When we move into the main event of Rampage, I would really prefer it if you said, it's time for your main event.
Well, we're going to get there, but I would just wanted to call out, I don't know about you guys, but I really love these interview segments with the three cameras and Mark Henry in the middle. And he then throws it to the main event. I just think it adds to the show, and I'm just surprised that they don't really do this anywhere else. Like, this seems like it'd be maybe something good for them to rip off on Dynamite at some point. But I like the way it works here. And Mark Henry does throw it to our main event. So it's time for us to talk about our main event.
Thank you.
It is Penta El Zero versus the Bastard Pac versus FTR. We're going to cut to the finish of this match. FTR defeats Pentagon and Pac, but that's because Malakai Black is able to pop up and spit the black mist in Pac's face, his good eye, they're able to secure a roll-up victory. And then afterward, FTR is able to pull off Pentagon's mask. Malakai Black gouges Pac's eye. He has a bloody hand now holding it up as the closing image. So that's the end of Rampage. Kate, what did you think about this match? And did you also love the fact that Malakai Black's pretty much half of his face now is infected?
I love the half a face being infected thing. I thought after he faced Bud Murphy at WrestleCade, it would probably progress because he's the one that started that storyline with him. And they had a great match. And so, of course, he's going to be fully half dead on that side of the face now. I really liked what happened in the match. Some of the post-match stuff I didn't really need. At the same time, like, it's 11 o'clock on a Friday. If it's going to get a little silly, like, that's fine. But I just didn't need it all because sometimes it works. And even though all of the post-match antics made sense, when a match is that strong in the ring, I feel like it takes away from it instead of adds to this. And we saw some really, 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 really strong in-ring action here. And I was like, just let that speak for itself. Like, and Malakai Black, because he's his own little weird man, like, I don't mind that as much, but like, just leave it at that. Like, just leave it at those little spots then. But other than that, yeah, I thought this was a main event. That felt like a main event. Sometimes it feels like the main event goes on first on Rampage because they're trying to hook you. This one felt like the opener and what closed, like both were suited for a main event slot. So Mark Henry was justified in throwing it to the main event. Low key thing I love about Mark Henry doing that is when he, like, I just love that he brings them on clearly to talk. And then he's like, guys, calm down. Like, he's like, the whole point of this segment is to rile you up, but that's enough. It's time for the main event. Like, I don't know why that just cracks me up every time, but I love those segments. I think they're super, super fun. Yeah, it feels like a throwback, but also very like sports-like at the same time. I don't know. And I think it's a blast.
My favorite thing is, I think one time he's like, whoa, guys, let's settle it in the ring. I'm like, yeah, they're gonna.
Like right now. That's what you're queuing up.
You're going to tell them it's time for the main event and they're going to walk out there.
That's how this goes.
Ryan, what'd you think of the main event in Malakai Black?
Main event was really good. Like Kate said, it actually felt like a main event. I wonder if the Malakai Black stuff at the end wasn't cover for the fact that they kind of had to change this match like very last minute on the fly and it wasn't what they thought they'd be doing. So you're kind of like trying to get clever with things that you didn't intend to get clever with. You know, I don't want to see, I have questions about Malakai Black. Again, kind of leads more into Dynamite than it does a Rampage, but it ties into this, which is his next steps. I did see somewhere on Twitter, someone said that, and I don't know if this is accurate, but that Blackhead is quoted as saying his, the stuff on his face grows as he gets stronger.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So I want to see that if he takes a loss, like a bad loss, does it get smaller? Like that would be really good, intricate character work. But I mean, listen, you have, even though the better of the teams is the Lucha Bros, Pac is still amazing. Pac. So is it Pac or Pac? I can never get it.
I don't know. Whatever. I switch it all the time.
But you still have FTR, one of the best tag teams in the whole world, against two of the best wrestlers in the whole world. It's gonna work. It's gonna be awesome. And that is something that Rampage, at least no matter what, taped, not taped, it always delivers at least one really good match. And we actually got two tonight, two on this one, but still, I was excited, but I think the Malachi stuff was more cover for the fact that Ray Phoenix couldn't be there. I think if he was there, that stuff at the end might not have played out the same.
Yeah. Well, I think that there's still an issue with Malachi and Pac. I think this is just kind of playing into that. I don't know what's on the horizon for Pac either, because it seems like this was something that could be used to kind of like push him off TV for a week or two. So maybe he's got to leave to do something. Who knows? But either way, anytime I can see Malachi Black on TV, I'll take it. I don't care in what capacity. He's fucking great. And to Kate's point before about like Tony Nese, I constantly say about Malachi Black and now Tony Nese, how did the other place not know what to do with these guys? Like,
yeah,
it's just incredible.
I think that about a lot of guys, but my top two are Malachi Black and Miro, I think.
Miro too, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Malachi Black's just such an obvious one because they've even said creatively, it's like all Tony Khan did was like, yeah, sounds good for the most part. Like, he just is so clear about what he wants to do and how he wants to execute it. And Miro was just like another case of like Malachi Black, I think they just never understood. Miro just never got the push because he was getting himself over and they just never pushed him. Malachi Black, I think they didn't like get how they were going to translate that to the main roster in WWE. But yeah, like a lot of those guys, that's true with Moxley, or like, how did that guy fight a plant named Mitch? But like Dean Ambrose still worked. Malachi Black, like, is so great and never really fully clicked on the main roster there. And same with Miro. They're like my top two that I'm like, how'd you miss?
Well, I said it yesterday. They added a creaking sound effect when he was rising out of the mist. And that's when I knew it was all over for poor Alistair.
At the same time as pew, 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 pew for Ricochet.
Boy, oh boy, my goodness. They just don't know what they're
doing. Not even a good Ricochet sound.
No,
it was very, it was worse than like Bugs Bunny cartoon. It was very, Kate, would you say,
mid.
Thank you.
I would say that.
So as we're talking mid, we're past Rampage last week, so we're going to get into Dynamite here. But, Kate, are you aware that there's a whole Shining Wizards network?
There's no way there's a whole Shining Wizards network with what, other great shows?
Kate, there's a whole network. Did you know we're part of it?
What?
Yeah, we're part of it. Sometimes I like to say we're the A show and the Shining Wizards are the B show. But yeah, I mean, I know we're on it. I know the Wizards are on it every Monday night at 7 p.m. having great shows. They've been on for over 10 years. Fantastic interviews, guests, a lot of fun. There's a championship belt that we saw yesterday in person for the first time, at least I did. But Kate, there are a ton of other great shows on the Shining Wizards Network.
I wish someone would tell me about them.
You know what? We can tell you about it right now. So everybody stay tuned. We're going to be right back, but take a listen and hear about some of the other great shows that are part of the Shining Wizards Network.
Everyone knows a lot of things can change in the span of 10 years. But when it comes to professional wrestling podcasting, one thing is still guaranteed. The Shining Wizards is the only place to get all the latest wrestling news, interviews with the greatest guests, and of course, tons of laughs in discussing the world of wrestling. The show is still available on Monday nights at 7 p.m. East on rantdmradio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app. And it's still available on all podcasting platforms. To check us out, head over to ShiningWizards.com, where it's still wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Because of the obvious threat to untold numbers of citizens, and because of the crisis which is even now developing, this radio station will remain on the air day and night. This station and hundreds of other radio and TV stations throughout this part of the country are pooling their resources through an emergency network hookup to keep you informed of all developments.
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure every Friday to check out Radioactive Metal. Radioactive Metal is one of the longest-running podcasts on the interweb, and every week we bring you a fist full of metal. including interviews with all your favorite artists, discuss all the metal news, and feature the best tunes on the air today. So grab a Lemmy, join your cool Uncle Snowy, and co-host Aaron in the pit.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Are you tired of being told what to think and believe by Hollywood elites and politicians who just don't care about you?
Tired of not getting the truth when you watch the news?
Tired of trying to figure out what pronoun to use?
Tired of mob mentality when all you want to do is think for yourself and make up your own mind?
That's where we come in. This is Justin.
And Vince.
Your host of Inconclusive Breakdown.
We are a weekly anti-PC podcast bringing you entertainment and current event news without any spin.
If you want to truly stay informed on what's going on in the world, then give us a listen every Sunday, anywhere you get podcasts, at least till Zuckerberg and Twitter Jack deplatform us.
And as always, we're proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s, where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on three separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Journey is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of the Midnight Jury podcast, hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Jury.
What's up, wrestling fans? You want something awesome? Check out Wrestling Night in Canada here on the Shining Wizards Network. We're three Canadian metalheads uniting for the love of pro wrestling. Every episode we go over all the latest news and special events with the odd unique interview as well. So grab a cold one and check out Wrestling Night in Canada, eh?
All right, we are back on the Mark Order podcast. Let's see. Hey, guys, we got some stickers. If you can see, I keep forgetting I got the thing in the corner. But we got some stickers here. And if you would like to get your very own Mark Order podcast stickers, you can reach out to us on our social channels at Mark Order Pod, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, our YouTube page, wherever you can send us a direct message, reach out, send us your name and address, and we will send out some stickers for free. We'll cover the postage anywhere in the world. So thanks to everybody who has reached out and gotten their free stickers. We're going to have some with us on our trip to Ring of Honor on Saturday as well. So if you're there, hit us up. We'll catch up, and you can grab some free stickers. We'll save on the postage. Guys, you know what time it is? It's time for the rankings. Kate's so excited.
Wrapping them is a Wednesday gimmick, not a Thursday one. And also, I want to eat these chips, so I'm going to mute myself and let you talk about the most boring thing in the whole world, the AEW rankings.
We're covering it because it's what we do, right? And we know they're a day old. They're from December 8th. We know that. So we're just going to cover them real fast. And that way we can get into Dynamite and talk about the fun stuff. We'll start with the tag rankings. As of yesterday, the Lucha Brothers were the champs. FTR, number 1. 2, Jurassic Express. 3, The Acclaimed. 4, Santana and Ortiz. And 5, The Young Bucks. In the women's division, Britt Baker is our champ. Number 1, Riho. 2, Jade Cargill. 3, 3 is Thunder Rosa, 4 Nyla Rose, 5 Ruby Riott. And in the men's division,
who?
Oh, Ruby Soho, my bad. Man, Ruby Soho. And in the men's division, we have our champ, Hangman Adam Page. Sammy Guevara is our TNT champ. And number 1, Bryan Danielson. Number 2, Kenny Omega. 3, Scorpio Sky. 4, Jungle Boy. And 5, Miro. They've got to move these rankings fast because Kenny is nowhere to be found. And that is totally fine. But they've really got to shake up those rankings pretty quickly in the men's division. So, Kate, let's talk about Dynamite. And
let's talk about Dynamite.
Dynamite taking place in Long Island opens up exactly how you'd expect it. He's better than you, and you know it. MJF's music hits. The crowd is literally going wild. Like, I knew that he'd get a good response, but he's a heel. And even though it's his hometown, I thought maybe, you know, it'd be kind of a mixed reaction. Nope. Place is going fucking crazy. I don't know if it came across on TV, Ryan, but it was loud in there for MJF. And then...
What? I'm just going to say, you could tell it was that it was a positive reaction because I'm so used to hearing the boos just rain down, and to hear the opposite even had more of an effect.
It was... Like I said, the only reason I was like surprised was because he's a heel, right? So like you would expect there to be some boos, but it not a boo in the house. The place was going nuts. And then of course, Mr. Spoil Sport has to come out. CM Punk makes his entrance and he's basically like, "Where's MJF?" Oh. I mean, you know, Kate, we're going to get your take on this, but basically Punk runs down Long Island for not being as loud as Chicago. He starts to run down the Islanders. He takes off his jacket to reveal a Four Pillar shirt with Britt Baker replacing MJF, which I think was pretty awesome. And then criticizes MJF for suggesting that Punk can't support Britt without wanting to get in her pants. He calls MJF an incel, which I found hilarious. Says he's not as good as Piper, and hell comes to Frogtown, which that's a really inside reference. Punk made a lot of inside references and hockey references, and I was like, man, people have to know what's going on. But he says that he's got his eyes set on the AEW World Championship match next week, and he wants it next, but he also believes MJF wants it too. And there's this thing between them, and they have to settle it before somebody goes on to fight for the title. He's tried twice to get Max in the ring, but he keeps running away and knows what this looks like to an outsider. Two guys arguing, and nobody can tell who the idiot is, so he wants to settle it. He doesn't want to deal with Sean Spears or Wardlow or FTR. It's between Punk and MJF, who stooped as low as to bring his dog Larry into this.
How dare he?
And Larry's neutered and somehow has more balls than MJF. Punk wants MJF one-on-one, doesn't want him to run like they do in Long Island. He wants him to stand and fight like he's in Chicago. He doesn't really have an out for this, but neither does MJF. And he'll fight him anywhere he likes, but he knows that's not going to be in Long Island. And then commentary hypes up the card for the night. So, Kate... We were there live. There was a question earlier on. I believe it was Rob Humphrey. And he wanted to know, did you boo CM Punk?
Of course not. He's still
from Long Island.
Kate was the only person there cheering for CM Punk.
Okay, first of all, him coming out to MJF's music after the narrative of the people who were like, CM Punk's not really coming back was... that they were going to sell out Chicago and MJF was going to come out to Punk's music, I thought was awesome. I thought that was so much fun. I love that they just let heels be over in their hometown. Who cares? It's 1 week. It's not that big of a deal. Happened with Britt Baker. The world moved on. And I think they also genuinely didn't know what they were going to get with MJF. So why not decide for them, right? Like, I think that was really good. This was like mostly a promo on the Islanders, and I loved it. Like, I thought it was so much fun. I think this sets up MJF to perfectly come out and say, oh, you don't want to go through Wardlow? You don't want to go through Sean Spears? Tough shit. I thought you were here to put over the boys, right? Like, he can lean into that as much as he wants. And that might extend you to the next pay-per-view or whatever. Or maybe they just have them fight at Winter is Coming after all. I don't know. But I just think it's a really good way. Like, if the idea is that you want to use CM Punk as a veteran presence to help put over other talent, like, having him go through the heads of stables and have to go through the stable first, like Danielson's doing with the Dark Order. If they want to do that with the Pinnacle, I think that's a really good idea. Like, Sean Spears has just not found his footing. CM Punk might help him do that a little bit. Wardlow seems to be setting up for a face turn against MJF. That could be great too. Like, I think there's so many ways you could go with this. You could have MJF give CM Punk his first loss. Like, there's a lot of ways this could unfold, but as far as this promo goes, I really liked what was done. And I also was just like, oh my God, heel CM Punk is going to be so good when that turn happens. Like, yeah. I loved his comeback. I think it's been really well done. I don't think he should have been hot-shotted into the title feuds. Like, I think this has been really well played out. But seeing him do what he does best was like a nice reminder of like, God, love what he's doing. The face stuff has felt sincere, but CM Punk as a bad guy is just the absolute best. So I'm very excited for the heel turn. I thought this was great. And then to have what happened next be immediately after, I also thought was just well sequenced on the card, but very fun. There was a chant that was just like, I think it was like, your pizza sucks or something. It was like making fun of deep dish pizza. And he said, I can't hear what you're saying, but he was like, I can't understand you, just like how the Islanders can't understand how to put a puck in the net. Like, he just would not lay off how bad the Islanders are. And I thought that was so funny. So, of course, I loved this. I'm a CM Punk mark, but I also think it's setting up a lot of things really well functionally for where the storyline is going to go. And, man, CM Punk working as a heel of this company is going to be real, real fun when it happens.
Absolutely. I mean, Ryan, everybody should know Kate's never gonna go against her BFF Phil. Ryan, how did this play out on TV? It was great there live. Actually, there were certain points I was like, I can't hear anything because the crowd was so loud. How did it play out on TV?
It was really good. So it's not just last night. To the detriment and benefit of AEW, they don't always mic the crowd loudly. So the detriment is you don't always get to hear just how into it the crowd is. But the benefit is I got to hear everything Punk was saying. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't struggle to hear the words coming out of his mouth. I heard it. I laughed because he was doing such stereotypical heel shit. Shit that MJF does. Like making fun of the talent. Like, it's over the top stereotypical, and he just was laying into it, and it was working. It was perfect. I mean, to come out to his music, to know and it was so perfect to do the battle royal next, because it explains why MJF didn't come out. Like, there was just, the logic there is great. No, it worked perfectly on TV and commentary all night. You guys didn't hear commentary, but commentary all night was basically treating Long Island as a heel city. Like, they were like, this place is all heels, fuck them, you know, we'll live and die by it. Like, so it worked because at no point did they try to convince you that the reaction MJF was getting was because he's a good guy. It was because not only is he a bad guy, but this whole place sucks. And it worked really well.
That's interesting. I have not gone back to watch the TV, the TV feed. So I'll have to go back and watch it and hear that, but that's awesome to hear. I mean, I have nothing to add. I loved every second of this promo. I thought it all worked great. And then we did move straight into the Dynamite Dozen Battle Royal. And Ryan, we did get to see the promo video that they showed to lead in MJF. They did the rest of the entrances, during the commercial break. And then, you know, we knew MJF was coming out last when they got back, and they ran that promo and they kind of, ran down all his accomplishments, for all the Long Island crowd to be proud of. And he entered, to a big pop, and we get into the battle royal. So a lot of guys in it. Lee Moriarty. I don't have the whole list, but I know Lee Moriarty, Matt Hardy, Jay Lethal, Dante Martin, Matt Hardy. I'm sorry, Wardlow, Leo Rush, Will Hobbs, Ricky Starks. Just a good mix of people. We kind of knew what we were going to get down to, you know, at some point. But some good moments during this match. Of course, always fun to see MJF do what he always does, hide in the corner behind Wardlow. And then at certain points when he was dumped over the top, Sean Spears was there to catch him just in case. He was going to fall off the apron. And I love the times where MJF does sneak out from behind Wardlow to get some punches in and then runs back and gets up on the turnbuckle, raising his arms and nodding his head like, yep, I'm the best. And eventually...
Do you know why it's so important that Wardlow is protecting MJF? Because why would you go to the top rope in a battle royal?
It's true. Otherwise, very true.
Matt would be very upset. He would have had to go to the Verizon Club and eat more hot dogs if that was the case.
Well, Kate, you know, if you go back and watch, because I did look at it, MJF, every time he did that, went between the ropes on the outside and stood on the outside turnbuckle. He didn't climb up to the top on the inside. So actually, kind of smart. I think he psychologically knew not to eliminate himself. So
Matt's not wrong about that. It makes no sense to go to the top of the to the top rope in a battle royal. It's just a very fun pet peeve to watch unfold.
So fun. Live. So fun. He freaks out. We did see Will Hobbs and Wardlow get into it. Big hoss fight. You know, for some strong moments there. Leo Rush does get to eliminate Will Hobbs, so we're still kind of setting up that Leo Rush versus Team Taz type storyline. Eventually, when we get down to kind of the last few people, Wardlow does get eliminated eventually by MJF because there's kind of a couple people in a scrum and MJF lifts them all over. So again, Wardlow kind of getting the shit end of the stick because of MJF. Don't know how much longer he can take it, but we will see. And then eventually it gets down to MJF, Ricky Starks, and Dante Martin. And they're the final three. And as Team Taz is going to gang up on MJF, Dante Martin dumps Ricky Starks. And MJF is again victorious in the Battle Royal. So they stop the match. Dante Martin and MJF will advance to match to the match for the Dynamite Diamond Ring next week at Winter is Coming. And then after the match, Dante Martin. Now, Kate, I missed this. Ryan, can you confirm Dante Martin took off his Team Taz armband?
He did, yes. After he dumped over Ricky, he made a show of taking off his armband to be like, I'm done. And Taz was on commentary and he was freaking the fuck out. So even if you didn't pick up that hint, the commentary was like, nope, this is 100% Dante's done.
I mean, done is strong, right? Because he was never really in. Has he even had a match with Team Taz?
He signed a contract. He signed a contract. He's in breach of that contract.
Hopefully he has a 90-day non-compete of some sort.
Well, after the match, I missed that, Kate. I didn't really see that happen live. And I was watching the ring and sort of like the screens because, you know, we don't get every angle. And I still missed that. So so the armband comes off. MJF offers Dante Martin his hand and Dante does take it. They shake hands. Max leaves and then Ricky Starks comes back into the ring to beat down Dante Martin. MJF, as he's heading up, is sort of conflicted. Do I help him? Do I not? And he goes to leave and then stops. And then he rushes back to the ring. He gets in Starks' face. They shove each other. But then all of a sudden, of course, MJF is MJF. He attacks Dante Martin. And now him and Starks are beating down Martin. CM Punk comes out to make the save, but MJF runs off. Dante Martin recovers. I think hits an enziguri on Ricky Starks, and then Punk hits the go to sleep. And we've got the baby faces in the ring to go to break. So, Ryan, you saw this whole thing on TV. How did the match play out on TV?
I'm going to be honest. They don't do battle royals particularly well. As much as I love battle royals, because that's one of the things I love. I love a Royal Rumble. I love a battle royal. I think they miss a lot of spots, or they time spots weirdly. And that being said, and I don't know, I think the Dante moment should have been bigger. I don't know how you get there, but it just felt, as much as it was at the end to end the match, I don't know, something about it just felt a little off. But either way, it's making Dante a star. I mean, he's tied in this. He's in the ring with Punk as his, like, not his partner, but his partner at that moment. Like, no, any which way you look at this, Dante's coming out of this a star. And I don't know if he's back with Leo. I don't know what's his story, but he continues to be one of the most interesting stories in all of AEW, which I think is awesome. I'm excited for him versus MJF. See how that plays out. Their styles are very different. But yeah, it was okay on TV. I just don't think they do Battle Royals well.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see kind of where they go with Dante Martin. I think they have a couple ways to kind of figure out where he's going. But I think they just have to be kind of be careful about what they do. And I was going to say, Ryan, before we get Kate, you know, we were both in the arena. Before we get your take on this, I mean, I'm kind of with you, Ryan. Like, they don't do the battle royals well. In this case, like, some of the other battle royals, I haven't necessarily hated. This one I didn't necessarily hate. It just seemed like there were a lot of really quick eliminations, and then there was a lull, and then another set of quick eliminations. Like, nothing really kind of played out. It was just like a series of quick eliminations just to get to the end and get to what happened afterwards, which is fine if that's what you want to do, but it didn't leave me wanting anything. You know what I mean?
For better or worse, WWE has gotten very good with the Royal Rumble of making eliminations be moments. Like, this elimination is a moment. AEW has not gotten there yet. I don't want them to get everything that WWE does with the Rumble, but to make certain eliminations a moment is a big deal. I would also say, because Eric put it in there about when MJF went back to save Dante, played so well on TV, especially because the commentary was like, you got to go back. Come on, man. Look at him. He's turning back. Is he going to go back? And then when he attacked him, just their reaction, like, of course. Of course he goes at him.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I mean, the only argument I'd have for you there, Ryan, is the only moment that felt like anything to me here, there were maybe two elimination moments that meant something, at least to me. Let's call it three. It was Leo Rush on Will Hobbs, right? Because that meant something to the story. It was MJF eliminating Wardlow in that scrum. And then it was Dante Martin eliminating Ricky Starks. All the other stuff, like, happened so quick it didn't even matter.
But that's my point, is that they could make those other stuff moments.
Sure, of course.
Did they just let it happen?
Of course. Now, do I think every elimination needs to mean something? No. But it just seemed super short. And again, it's a battle royal that's taking place at the start of this 2-hour show. So, you know, I'm not naive. I don't think they're going to give me 40 minutes of a battle royal. But Kate, what did you think?
So I was most caught off guard by the pacing of it, even more than the eliminations. It felt like a lot of people got eliminated very quickly, and then there was a big lull for storyline things to play out. I did not like Lee Moriarty being eliminated before, like, Matt Hardy and Sydal. That made no sense to me. To Ann's point, not every elimination has to mean something, but, like, bringing up Royal Rumble is a good one, because they did this very well a couple years ago, right? Like, Brock Lesnar eliminating everybody he had past beef with. Not every elimination meant something, but the story that was being built out was, like, nobody's going to beat Brock. And then someone of his size got in the ring and Drew McIntyre. Like, it's not that every elimination has to mean something, but a series of eliminations can tell one story, and they don't do that a lot. I like Royal Rumble a lot. Like, it's one of my favorite pay-per-views, but Battle Royals overall, I feel like, are not my thing. I'm more of a tournament mark girl. I like storylines. So, not my favorite thing in the world anyway. I like And with this battle royal, the funny thing is, like, the most anticipated part of a battle royal is the last elimination, right? And the point of this is to end up with two guys, not a final elimination. So, like, the most suspenseful part you're kind of getting blue balled on anyway, and that there's not one winner. It's two guys that are going to have a match. So it's not like one guy survived this whole thing. It's like one guy is now a contender in this match. So, but yeah, they're not the greatest battle royal thing. I'm not a huge battle royal gal. Anyway, but this one was mid. I do think that Dante is an interesting story. My hope is that it ends up with, I don't need a manager. I don't need Team Taz. My brother's back. And that's the only guy I ever needed. Right. That's where I'm hoping it goes. And I'm not going to be mad about seeing Dante and Leo Rush. I'm not going to be mad about seeing Dante and anybody on Team Taz, like, all day, man. So, but I just think that would be really sweet if this was his brother's re-entry, and that is just, like, such a pure babyface thing. But I said this before, too. The reason that the Dante storyline is so interesting is it's very believable that everybody would want this guy on their team. He's really, 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 really good. Like, he's so great at this at such a young age. I can buy into the idea that everybody's going to want him. So, this was an interesting, I thought for sure Punk was going to be in it. I thought we were going to get Punk and Wardlow at the end of this. I thought either outcome would be fun. If it was Wardlow's turn to being a face or CM Punk with a diamond ring, it's just fucking hilarious to me. And I thought that could be really fun too. And he is eventually going to turn heel at some point. But this story is great, and it also makes sense because Punk had an issue with Team Taz that never got resolved, truly. So if he's going to go back and face Starks, that's a dream match of mine. Like, absolutely, let's go. So,
yeah, and shit, the thought is gone. It's okay. I'll eventually get back to it. But I did want to just say, maybe we wouldn't feel so blue-balled coming down to these last two guys. If, and again, I understand that MJF was playing this part, right? You hide behind Wardlow, you don't really get involved in the match, and you kind of heal your way to the final, right? But perhaps in the future, when MJF is not involved in a match like this, what would make it more interesting to get down to the final two is if these guys were at war with each other during this battle royal.
Sure.
And now you get to the end, and these two guys who have battled will now get one chance against each other to find out who the winner is. Maybe that would be a way for us not to feel like we kind of get gypped. I mean, again, I can't be mad at that for this, because MJF played the role. He wasn't going to get involved. He was going to sit back and coast to the final, where he knows I can get to the match and win and have the third, you know, consecutive year with the ring. I mean,
and the victory laps he kept taking were hilarious to me. Like, he would do anything at all and then go back up to the top rope and just be like, yeah, whoop. Knock my shit over.
Kate knocking her shit over. She's so excited about MJF.
I don't know if that came across on TV, but live it was very, very funny because the crowd was cheering for him anyway. Like, for him to do essentially nothing and then be like, look what I did was fantastic. So
yeah, it was so much fun there live. I hope that played on TV. We'll have to go back and watch. Moving on. This is the next big point in the night that got Kate excited. 2.0 and the Acclaimed versus Jurassic Express and the Varsity Blondes. We're going to cut to the end of this match because
Express.
What's that?
Jesus, I wrote the wrong thing in there.
It's all right. Jungle Express works. One thing that I do want to say about being there live is Kate and I did comment to each other. The crowd hates, they absolutely hate Tarzan Boy as a song. Nobody likes it. Nobody sings it. Nobody,
is Tony
nobody
still
dances.
In the chat?
Probably not. It's so late. I can't believe he even poked his head in the chat.
Well past his bedtime.
So, Jurassic Express does win. The Varsity Blondes win by submission with the snare trap from Jungle Boy on Max Caster. The match did break down towards the end. Eddie Kingston did make a save because Daniel Garcia was going to get involved to distract the referee, but Eddie Kingston shoves Garcia into the steel steps, and the win comes that way. Now, after the match, what was a little awkward there live was the fact that we saw Eddie on the screen with the camera backstage and he was talking, but we couldn't hear anything.
Guess what? Couldn't hear him on TV either.
No!
Oh, man. Well, that's a huge miss, but he's backstage and he runs into Ortiz and he's shouting, which clearly nobody can hear. For a moment, he's there kind of talking to the camera. Ortiz appeared to be kind of calming him down. And then 2.0 and Daniel Garcia rush back there. And a brawl breaks out. And 2.0 and Daniel Garcia are able to get the edge on Eddie Kingston and Ortiz. And the referees have to break it up before we go to break. Kate, I'm going to throw it to you because you've been dying for what we think is going to happen. Are you excited for the perhaps reunited LAX?
Yeah, hell yeah, I am. So Eddie was also on commentary for Dark, and when he came out, he also got a very big ovation. I just want to point that out, that yes, he is also over on the island, and with people that are not me, with people that, like, other people as well. I very much have wanted an LAX reunion. I've been in that camp. I really want them to be the next champions. Like, I very much want Santana and Ortiz to be the next champions. I think to do it under the LAX name would be something that's very special. And if Eddie's not going to be in a title picture, having him kind of help navigate them to a tag championship, I think could be something that would be really special and well done. And he could certainly have his own storylines along the way. This could also just be to have a 3-on-3 with Ever-Rise and Daniel Garcia versus LAX. Maybe we are getting trios titles and this is going to be like an inaugural thing. I don't know, but when you have LAX right there, it seems like it makes a lot of sense to smush them together. I think that could be very, very fun. So I love Eddie. It bums me out that I can't go back and hear what he said either, because we didn't hear it in the arena, but you could see what the handwriting on the wall for that was, right? Yeah. But he's just great. He's just so great. I love him.
I know I was, you know, next to Kate and I was just like, oh, come on, cut the fucking music. I want to hear what's going on.
Oh, and we should, I guess, talk about the match that happened. The match was really strong too. Yeah. And I think the crowd was like a little bit down because we had just seen like all the MJF stuff and the CM Punk moment was so hot that the story, like, that you kind of knew where it's going and we've seen this type of stuff before. But the match itself was very strong ring wise. I think the crowd was just like gathering themselves a little bit, taking a deep breath. But a good match. I don't know how much juice is left in this feud though. I think stuff has to either happen with the Elite or the Super Click. Or I think Christian's gotta turn on JB or vice versa. Like, I think we gotta get stuff moving.
Yeah, I think the crowd, just anytime you can put Jungle Boy in front of a crowd, like, that's going to be great. And Bowen's, you know, is fantastic in the ring too. I mean, all these guys are pretty good. I had mentioned too, Ryan, to Kate, like, boy, it's been some time since we've seen the Varsity Blondes. So
yeah,
it was nice to see them too. Yeah, I'm with you, Kate. We got to kind of move this along, right?
Yeah.
This Jurassic Express thing, we need to move this along. Also excited for this possible LAX. Ryan is praying there for trios titles. Ryan, what did you think of the match and everything afterwards?
The match was awesome. Did you guys see the gif of Bowens kicking Brian Pillman in the face?
Didn't see the gif.
No, that's awesome though.
I don't think he actually, like, I think he was just good, but it looked like to be one of the best sell jobs I've ever seen. It was real good.
Great. Max Caster, also a Long Island boy, we probably should have mentioned. His rap was kind of mid, to be honest.
It's Long Island.
But it did get a huge pop. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they need to do something with all these teams. First and foremost, to go to the important one, which is Garcia and 2.0 attacking Eddie Kingston and Ortiz. It made sense that Ortiz was the one trying to calm Eddie down in the back, because again, AEW doesn't ignore the past of other companies. So Ortiz can say, we're friends. Like, we've run together. And I have no idea. No one knows what he was saying. I don't know if the audio was supposed to be on. I don't know if their whole point was that they were supposed to play it up, that this really wasn't prepared, and that's why you couldn't hear him. Like, I don't know what their intention was there. Was it a mistake or was it intentional? But either way, it didn't play well.
Based on something we saw later with them hitting Adam Cole's music by accident, I'm going to go ahead and say it was a mistake.
Yeah.
Fair enough. My hope actually is that after the trios match against 2.0 is that Eddie is the one who gets Santana and Ortiz on the title path by saying, I'm like, what the fuck are you two doing? You have all the talent in the world. I get that you've been hanging out with these guys, but you got to focus on yourselves. You got to go for your belts. And that's kind of like, because Eddie has that personality about him where he could talk them into being selfish, but also remaining face. Like, it's a weird, he's the only one I think that could pull that off. So, but I really want trios instead, because you could clear up so many of these issues if you had trios titles. What are they doing with Jurassic Express? Oh, I don't know. Go for trios titles. What are you doing with 2.0 and Garcia? I don't know. Go for trios titles. You know, you have like six teams, and then it frees up your other tag teams to have feuds with each other. The Acclaimed and Varsity Blondes can go back to their feud, because that never really got solid. Like, that's always been the knock on why I want trios, is because you have so many tag teams and singles players that could fit, and it would clear up so many guys. But I just want to see Eddie and Proud and Powerful standing next to each other. I don't know if they can go by LAX though, because that's being used in MLW.
Yeah, they likely won't be able to, but you never know. I mean, TK surprised us before on the other things he could pull off them using. So we'll see. But I also want to call this out. Mike Peterson noting that I felt like between Max Caster and CM Punk, there were a lot of jabs at the Islanders last night. Well, what else do they have?
That was what I was going to say.
And it's not even much with the Islanders.
And they were supposed to be good this year, so it's like painful.
Like the Flyers, right?
No, the Flyers weren't supposed to be good. Mm. Islanders were good last year. It's kind of like the Devils, where you're like, you know they're not going to win anything.
But we're doing better than those two teams. I know that much.
I'd rather do worse. If you're not going to win the cup, get a higher pick.
Oh, okay. Here we go. We're not going to devolve into hockey talk. But I think the Islanders also had a long streak of canceled games because of COVID, right? So
yeah.
Anyway, we go to commercial and come back. FTR cutting a promo backstage. Tully says they're going to win the AEW World Tag Team Championship back once they can get the Lucha Brothers back in the ring. Wheeler says they've never beat FTR fair and square. And since it's time for them to take their spot as the torchbearers of pro wrestling, they're going to prove it by winning the tag team titles back Friday night on Rampage. So we know that's coming on Rampage. And then, Kate, we get into the next match. And this was maybe our other favorite moment of the night, where we had chaos. Now, this is the true chaos, despite what a lot of people are saying. Ryan, did you know that this chaos is the real chaos? Not that New Japan knockoff bullshit. It's this chaos. It's the best friends and Rocky, I guess, Rocky Romero, right?
Yeah, no, I agree. That's chaos. Okay,
good. Then the Mark Order podcast is on all of us, even Matt, who's not here, right, Kate? We're all on the same page saying that this is the real, only true chaos. Just like the only ECW is WWECW.
Correct.
With Hall of Famer champions CM Punk and Taz with twosies. Perfect.
With an impressive lineage of WWE CW champions like CM Punk and most importantly, Zack Ryder.
That's right.
Always long, ready, baby.
The Long Island Iced Z.
Which, as much of a CM Punk mark as I am, the most important ECW champion of all time is Zack Ryder. I understand that. Like, right. I know.
WWE CW, the only ECW that matters in the record books.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's, again, that is the way that all of the Mark Order podcast feels, including Matt, who's not here. We're going to speak for him.
Yeah, I would say Matt leads that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we get into Chaos, Chuck Taylor, and Rocky Romero versus the Young Bucks, Matt and Nick Jackson. And as we go through this match, we do get the Young Bucks winning by pinfall with the Meltzer driver on Rocky Romero. And then post-match, a brawl breaks out between Adam Cole and Orange Cassidy, and Adam Cole gets the upper hand. Wheeler Yuta slides in to make the save, but he gets a super kick party. Panama Sunrise on Orange Cassidy, and all is looking lost until who drives up? It's Sue! Brand new member of Chaos, Sue.
Confirmed.
Drives up in her minivan, and boy oh boy, Trent Beretta is back, shaved head. He is cut up. I don't know if Mrs. Money saw Trent, but I would assume that that might be up her alley as well. And Trent is taking care of business. Chris Statlander gets into the ring with Sue. They give the people what they want. We get our big best friend Chaos hug, Roppongi Vice reunion, and we're off to the races. Trent is back. Trent's looking good. Kate, you were there with me. Would you like to tell people who got the biggest pop in this segment?
I'm not exaggerating when I think Sue and MJF had like equal pops. Like, yeah. Sincerely, it was deafeningly loud for when Sue came out, which is awesome. And I think I don't think anybody was expecting this. I did not think Trent was coming back from injury this soon. I didn't think his mom was going to be dropping him off. This was so great. Like, this was so much fun. I love that they play to the hometown live crowds, especially because this is, for a lot of people, the first stops in every town because we were in COVID for so long and not touring. But sincerely, it was like Sue and MJF, Gap, Adam Cole's theme. Mm-hmm. It was so fucking loud for Sue. And I think it definitely caught me off guard. I think a lot of people were genuinely surprised and they were like, what are they showing? Oh my God, it's the minivan. Oh my God, it's Sue. Oh my God, Trent is back. Like, it had this really nice long burn in the live reaction too. So fantastic stuff. Like, just, you know, you had MJF kind of ruled the night, but you also had Long Island nods with Max Caster and John Silver. And most importantly, it's Sue.
That's right. And it's funny, Kate, because even at one point, I think I turned to you and I was like, man, it sucks Trent's still a ways away from coming back. Because I think, like, the timeline after his neck surgery was not short. It seemed like forever. Like, he was going to be out until maybe the spring. So I guess we were all kind of wrong on our timelines.
But... And they did clarify that he's, like, back, too. I thought maybe he was just doing, like, a run-in spot because of the hometown thing. But, like, from what they said, it sounds like he's fully cleared and ready to rock and roll.
Yeah. Yeah, it was quite a surprise. Schlong, how did this work for you?
No, it was great. I mean, you had Sue got the It's Sue from Shivani.
Did she really?
I'm pretty sure he did. He did say it.
Yes.
Trent deserved that moment. I think Trent is... I think the best friends are awesome. I think injuries have really hurt them because every time they get something going, unfortunately Trent gets hurt. But it was a really fun segment. Again, could have a trios title for these three, except put Orange in singles and put Yuta with those two. Boom, you have another trios team. Did you guys hear what Trent actually had going on in his neck?
No.
Apparently because his spine was so compressed, he just had like bones growing out.
Oh.
So they had to like remove bones.
Yeah, they did a fusion, right?
Yeah, they did a fusion, but as part of that, I guess because it had been so compressed, new bones were growing where they weren't supposed to.
Oh.
So they had, like, removed bones. Yeah.
The human body's fucked up.
Yeah.
Well, it's for wrestlers, that's for sure.
Yeah.
My God.
But yeah, he makes best friends way different because now you have two very believable wrestlers and Chuck. Not that Yuta wasn't, but they weren't treating Yuta as a threat.
Right.
You treat Trent as a threat. Again, they could be tag champs. They could be trios. I'm very excited to see where they go.
Yeah, in my opinion, Trent is an underrated, utilized talent. And I'm not saying he's not underutilized. He's just underrated, I think, in a lot of people's eyes. Or they don't really know how good he is. I think he's so good. I'm glad he's back. He looks like he's in great shape. I'm excited to see what he can do. Yeah, he did. He looked great. So we go backstage and Ruby Soho is being interviewed. The Bunny and Penelope Ford roll up, which really confused me, Schlong, because I'm looking at the screen. I'm looking at Kate. I'm like, how are you in two places at once? But the Bunny says Nyla Rose said once she wins the TBS championship, they'll be first in line for shots. So they're going to have a trios match on Rampage against Ruby and two of her friends, which she doesn't have any of. And Ruby doesn't want to wait until Friday. She begins to punch some. Nyla shows up with a surprise bitch. A brawl continues. Tay Conti and Anna Jay make the save. So clearly we're going to Tay Jay. And Ruby Soho versus Nyla Rose, Penelope Ford, and the Bunny. So I don't know if we want to mention talk about anything there. It seemed pretty straightforward.
That the surprise bitch is still making me laugh.
Oh, it's fantastic.
That line was delivered perfectly. Surprise bitch. Punch her in the face. Bam.
So after this is the next segment, I think, that many people would like to talk about. Sammy Guevara is getting interviewed by Tony Schiavone on stage, but before he can say anything, the greatest EVP of all time makes his entrance, Cody Rhodes. And he says he doesn't want to blindside Sammy, but from one good guy to the next.
Loved it.
His Christmas Day edition of the Open Challenge has been filled, and Cody Rhodes is taking it. So we're going to get Cody Rhodes versus Sammy Guevara Christmas Day on Rampage for the TNT title, Open Challenge. But that's not it. The men of the year appear up in the crowd, and Ethan Page complains that Cody's skipping the line and he had to jump through hoop after hoop to get his title shot, which is bullshit. But maybe if he was an EVP who kissed Tony Khan's ass, he'd get a title match faster. But Dan Lambert got him his title match, and Dan is coming back. Scorpio Sky then mocks the idea of Sammy being a fighting champ when he won't fight the guys in the top five, and maybe he should get some balls. We go to break. So, a few things here. Cody Rhodes, the greatest wrestler in the history of wrestling. You know who's on the Mount Rushmore, Schlong? Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes.
Hook.
Cody Rhodes.
You wore your Cody Rhodes shirt to the arena, sir.
I did. I did it on purpose. That was a planned shirt, Kate.
Well, all shirts are planned. You don't just.
No, sometimes I'm just like, I'm going to toss this on. No plan. This was thought out, Schlong. I was like, I'm going to do the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes. But anyway, I also enjoyed when everybody was booing Cody Rhodes. I was standing up and applauding. He's a man who deserves applause.
I don't disagree with you.
The other thing that I loved about that, Schlong, and I'm sure you saw it on TV, is as Cody went to leave, he walked towards the heel tunnel and then sort of did the like, oops, and turned around and went to the face tunnel. Clearly, Cody sees what's being said online, which I loved him playing into. So, Shalong, I'm going to go to you first. What did you think about this whole Cody Rhodes thing? The heel turn teases here. And what do you think about this Men of the Year thing and the threat that Dan Lambert is coming back?
So this goes back to what we were talking about earlier with Sammy versus Tony Nese. Listen, I'm a huge Cody fan. Have not understood any of the heat against him. Love what he's doing with it. Think this is genius because it's not how I expected him to play it. But I don't want him to be the next match. Only, well, let me rephrase that. If Sammy wins, I'm okay with it because I want Sammy to have a couple more matches against some really good contenders who aren't going to win, but just again, have, you know, these awesome, put Leo against Sammy, put, you know, Lee Moriarty. Like you have all these guys, you could just do match after match. It would be awesome. I love what Cody's doing. I mean, cause he knows people are going to hate this. I mean, he sees it coming a mile away that people are gonna be like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, this is great. Cause he knows what he's doing. I don't want Dan Lambert back. I want the men of the year to do their own thing. Let Scorpio Sky be the one to eventually take it off of Sammy. Then let Ethan Page get jealous of Scorpio Sky. And then they can feud. And it's a whole way of keeping everyone in. But you just keep them away from it. Let Cody lose through some nefarious means to somebody else. And let Sammy go out and have some more bangers. Because I love Cody, but if he wins this belt, what did it really do for Sammy? And then what is Cody going to do with it? Cody has a bunch of great defenses, but like Cody's telling a different story right now.
The simplest thing I could think, Ryan, is if he takes his title on Christmas Day, nuclear heat. Oh, nuclear.
God. I mean,
atomic hot.
The only thing is, would Cody take, because Christmas Day is clearly going to be taped, would Cody do that on a taped Rampage? Because it's going to leak.
Of course it's going to leak. You've got a lot of no fun people out there.
I'm one of them. I love spoilers. But my point being, that seems to be something they would save for live when they know it'd be like no one could predict it coming.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily think Cody's going to win. I mean, if he does win, it would just be nuclear. Like, it would just be like, oh, my God. You'd never hear people stop booing for him. And he could totally play into that. I'm the EVP. You know, I'm a good guy, right? Like, he could be that kind of shit heel. Sort of like he kind of was in Ring of Honor, which could work. But do I think he's going to win? I don't necessarily think he's going to win. And I think it maybe helps push him further towards that heel. You know, kind of a heel turn, even though he says I'm a good guy, I'm not heel turning. Well, you know, so I think they can go kind of either way with it. But I mean, Kate, when he came out, I mean, even as his music started, like the crowd hated it. I loved it. I loved it so much. What did you think of this?
I think, well, a few things. I think he was going to get booed because like, just the history with MJF there, and they were so pro MJF anyway. And then of course the program that he's disrupting. I'm not sure Cody doesn't take it. And I don't necessarily mean on Christmas Day, but I'm wondering if that ends up being like a series of three matches where Cody eventually ends up with the belt or something. But I love him flirting with the other tunnel and then turning around. I love him calling himself a good guy. I'm not totally sure about the boos either. I know people weren't a fan of one promo. That's not usually enough. And it wasn't that bad of a promo to do this. I've said a few times that I think Malakai Black's just so fucking cool. It was hard to root against him. And then I think once it started going down the hill a little bit and you saw Brandy come out the heel tunnel at Arthur Ashe and things like that, I think people now have felt like they're supposed to. So they are. I always say, who cares why? Like, lean into it, right? Like, go with the organic side of things. Like, wrestling is really boring when it's sterilized. We're seeing that at the other company. So I think I don't really care why we got to this point. I think it's going to be real, real fun when this happens. And I think if he does win and gets booed like that, the promo that is going to follow is going to be one that we're talking about for years to come. I really do. Like, sincerely think that he's going to be like, I'm the reason this whole company exists and you guys boo me. You don't want me as your champion. I got Eddie Kingston signed with this belt. I gave Brody Lee his best matches with this belt. I gave Ricky Starks a job with this belt. I made Sonny Kitt. Like, he is going to give one of the best promos we have ever heard when that moment happens.
It stands to be epic. Now, Kate, you are, by your reaction last night, you were super excited to hear Dan Lambert's name.
Why? As they were talking, before they said he was coming back, I was like, this is exactly why they never needed Dan Lambert. Look how naturally these two talk. And then they were like, and Dan Lambert's coming back. And I was like, fucking why? Why is he coming back? You're proving right now why you don't need him. And by the way, the excuse that they needed him because they were too cool to get heat isn't true. Like, people were booing them. I just don't want it. I don't like it. I don't get it. I feel like if anybody's coming back, it should be Paige VanZant. I'm not excited about that in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, no, I don't need Dan Lambert. I would like him to just stay away. And I get it, like, people boo him, but I just don't get it. I don't like it. I don't want it.
No.
Moving on. We get a Jade Cargill Thunder Rosa tournament semifinal teaser. And then we get into maybe the match of the night. I'm being sarcastic. Jamie Hayter.
Most would disagree, by the way, with you, your sarcasm, and say it's actually legitimate.
Fantastic. Jamie Hayter versus Rio. Now, Kate, we were there. I was not interested in this at all. The crowd seemed pretty dead. Rio wins by pinfall with a sliding knee. Post-match, Britt Baker, gets Riho in a lockjaw. That's pretty much it. I just don't understand this. I don't understand it. Jamie Hayter is able to, you know, do things to Riho that she should not be able to get out of. And it just... I don't know. I don't like this. I don't like this. Like, she hit a nasty looking backbreaker on Riho, and Riho kicks out and gets up like nothing's happening. Like, her back is fine. She's jumping, stomping off the top two rope. Like, I just don't, this whole thing is not interesting to me. I hate it. I don't want Britt Baker involved in this. I'm over it. Kate, what did you think?
Well, I sincerely was in the bathroom for, like, most of this match.
Lucky.
I don't hate Riho as much as you guys do. Not having seen this match, my complaints about her usually fall within sometimes the moves that she does aren't realistic for someone of her size. Sasha Banks is not that much bigger than her, and she's fantastic at being able to make it looked like she's a viable competitor for someone that's a much smaller woman, right? So my thing is, like, she shouldn't be striking people. She shouldn't be doing weighted pins. She shouldn't be throwing forearms. Anything that involves your weight, she shouldn't be doing. Things like the bridges, like, she should, to me, she should be mostly a submission wrestler. Like, that's why I can buy Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson. Beating people is because he has like six different submissions he can beat you with and things like that. So my complaints overall with Riho are not her skill and her size. It's mostly her skill set and the way that she utilizes it. It's harder for me to find you believable when, like, I can't imagine her striking Jamie Hayter, like, has that big of an impact. Like, it just didn't feel that way. But truly, I was, and this wasn't even an intentional bathroom break match, like, I ended up going to the bathroom during this match. I didn't see it except for two moves at the end, which I thought the counters were fine too, but I didn't do a ton for me. And also, I think Jamie Hayter can get kind of clunky sometimes, and I don't know if Jamie Hayter knows how to work with someone Riho size. Like, I don't think this is all Riho. She's been a little clunky when she's been working with smaller women too. I think somebody like a Chris Stapp might be a better opponent for her, or even someone of Britt's stature, like, to someone that's a little bit bigger. Cause she's been a little bit clunky.
I don't disagree with you on Hayter, Kid. I actually thought last night she actually looked serviceable. So I give Hayter the pass last night. I don't think the match was bad. I just, like, psychologically, this, this whole thing makes no sense. It just doesn't make sense. I'm with you, Kate, on the move set. It doesn't make sense. She's like 2 pounds. So,
well, there is a story at least. Like, I will say that, yeah, like the story is that she, that Brent's never pinned her, right? And that all of her wins have been these flash wins, which if Riho is going to get a win, it should be that way. Cause if we're complaining that it's not convincing, we can't also complain when her wins are sneaky. That's like going to the restaurant and complaining that the food is bad and the portions are too small, right? Like, if she's going to be getting wins, they should be these sneaky wins. So there is, it's not my favorite, and I don't like the Challenger of the Month Club stuff with Britt's reign. I've been pretty vocal about that, but like, they, where they were 6 months ago to now as far as storytelling, like, they at least have gone back to the history between these two and justified it for making sense in this world. So I at least get that, but it's just, I don't care about anybody Britt's facing until Thunder Rosa, because they've just made it so apparent that that's where this is going. Like, who cares about anyone in between? I have no seeds of doubt.
Schlong.
So, lady, gentlemen, allow someone who saw the match and didn't come in with hate to begin with, talk about it, because Ant was never going to like it. He does not like Riho.
Listen, I'll give them credit where credit is due. The match was serviceable, but I don't like it.
I saw all over the place people calling this match of the night. So clearly it was beyond serviceable for most people. And it was actually a very logical story, because it's the same story they tell with Darby Allin. So if you can deal with it with Darby, you can deal with it with Riho, which is takes immense amounts of pain, does not go down, beat you with something clever. That's how Riho won. It was outsmarting Jamie. She took the beating all match. She never dominated. She just would wait for Jamie to make a mistake, and she would take advantage. I thought Jamie looked great in this match. I saw it was her best match in AEW. Like, I thought this match was fantastic. I thought the story was as logical as you can get when you have a smaller versus a bigger. So the smaller person took a huge beating, but every time they just refused to quit, and they would wait for a mistake. And that's eventually how she won. It's literally how every Darby match goes.
Would it kill Riho to sell some sort of injury? Would it? I mean,
she sold her ass on that match, man.
So, okay. But when Hater hits backbreaker and then you just jump up and start stomping like your back is fine. Like, even Darby does stuff like that, or sells a knee or something like that. At the end of this match, Riho did not look like that. Riho doesn't look like she went through a war. She got up and was fine. I mean, I'm not an idiot,
think she's,
right?
Like, I think she sold her ass off during the entire match. Again, Darby takes a back beating, and then his finishing move is the coffin drop. It's not like he's selling it then. Like, I think people don't want to like Riho because she was away for a while, and she probably shouldn't have been the first champ. So there's a lot of back hatred towards her. But match-wise, I thought this was as solid of a match as you can get.
I don't know. I don't like this Challenger of the Month thing. I'm with Kate there. I'm not sold on Riho, you know.
You're allowed to not like her. Like, that's
I'm
fine.
Just not sold on Riho being, you know, this, you know, champion. I was never sold on that. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. I just don't get it. I don't get it.
The other thing is, we have an incredibly loyal Dark Watcher who's seen a lot more Riho matches. And I think this is very, very difficult for people who don't watch Dark regularly, because she kind of just got back on our TV. And it, because the women's division was not good a year ago, especially when Riho was there almost 2 years ago, it doesn't feel like she was a champion, because they didn't really do much with it. Like, so if you're watching Dark, it makes more sense that she's logically crept back onto your TV screen, I'm guessing. But like, once again, there's not enough women's wrestling on Dynamite and Dark. So, or excuse me, Dynamite and Rampage. So it's, and commentary didn't really allude to it in the previous weeks as much as they should have, in my opinion. Obviously, I don't know what they said this week, but that seems to be a big differential as far as people that like Riho and people that are not sold on Riho coming back. is that like people that have seen her on Dark more often, I think at least it at least makes some sense as to why she's back in the title picture a little bit. But we all know she's not gonna win it, so it's like there's a lot of barriers. That's what this is. There's a lot of barriers of buy-in here. There's a lot of them, because it's like, it's her size. It's having to pretend that we don't know Britt is going to win. It's having to pretend that she wasn't away for 18 months or whatever, and like pretend that her championship reign was something that AEW valued a great deal. There's so many different layers of having to like set aside some disbelief. So I get it.
Well, let's move on. Commentary hypes up Rampage for the upcoming week. And Rampage, we find out that we're going to get Lucha Brothers versus FTR for the World Tag Team titles. We're going to get Adam Cole versus Wheeler Yuta. We're going to get Ruby Soho, Tay Conti, and Anna Jay versus Nyla Rose, The Bunny, and Penelope Ford. And then, ladies and gentlemen, we get the biggest news in the history of wrestling. Taz lets us know. Well, he says that Leo Rush and Dante might have swerved Team Taz. But on Friday, we will all be graced with, you know, I said before, Cody was the four people on the Mount Rushmore. Taz let us know that we're going to have a new four-person Mount Rushmore. And it's going to be Hook, because we're going to see Hook against that perpetual loser, Fuego del Sol, on Rampage Friday night. Ladies and gentlemen, you'd better tune into Rampage. That's all I'm saying. You'd better fucking tune in. Ryan, that's all we're going to say.
I was going to tune in.
Well, you should. Don't miss it. It's appointment viewing Friday night.
The last. I'm very upset about his theme music, by the way.
I don't even know what his theme music was. It didn't matter.
It's I forget who it is. It's by some, like, most people love it because it's by like a legitimate rapper, but I really wanted it to just be the theme from the movie Hook. So I'm a little upset.
I think it was Action Bronson.
Yeah.
He's the fat dude who likes to eat or cook.
Isn't right? that Fat Joe?
Cook, no. Brother.
Anyway, we also find out AEW Revolution is scheduled for Sunday, March 6th. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Winter is coming, gets hyped up a little bit. We get a video package for Shida versus Serena Deeb. So we find out we're going to get that at Winter is Coming as well. And then Tony Schiavone interviews the Varsity Blondes. But the lights go out before anything can be answered. And when they come back up, Malakai Black is there. He spits mist at Julia. Lights go down. He's gone when they come back.
And lights go down. He's gone when they come back. Something, Cody Rhodes.
I mean, you said back. That was the perfect place to just rhyme black. I mean, come on.
Good point. I wasn't warm because I didn't do the rankings rap this week.
That's right.
Did I take Matt's inability to talk? I think I did.
Yes, you did. And then they go to break. So I don't know, guys, what they're doing with Malakai Black and spitting the mist in Julia's face. But for some reason, Ryan, at that show, last night, it made me turn to Kate and Matt in that moment and say, what if the Murder Hawk comes back and joins the House of Black? I don't know what made me think of it in that moment, but it would be fucking awesome.
Because I never considered that. Everyone's talking about, oh, you bring in Brody King. That's an obvious. That's a great. Eric in the chat had put out that Swerve had put out a picture with Aleister Black and being like House of Black. I don't think that works as well, because I think Swerve could come in on his own and just be his own star. I don't think he necessarily needs to go House of Black. I think
Swerve is going to have some stable PTSD after what happened to him with Hit Row.
Yeah, I just don't think he needs it.
That was a like more of a joke, because like Hit Row was like a black culture stable in WWE. I think he was saying like that he was a House of Black a little bit more.
But I mean, that actually would work really well. It'd be something interesting for Lance Archer to do, to be House of Black.
I don't know what made me think of it. I don't know what made me think of it, but I mean, can you imagine? And this is a question to both of you. Can you imagine a House of Black stable? Because I believe what Malachi Black alluded to in an interview somewhere was that they were going to possibly have two guys join and it be a stable, which, again, trios titles would be awesome for that. But can you imagine Malachi Black, Lance Archer, and possibly Brody King? Holy shit, would I love that.
My Why God. Not
add make it happen.
Abaddon.
I mean, I'll take that too. Fits right? perfectly.
I actually had heard some people saying that I'd seen some stuff. I think probably when Malachi Black had mentioned like House of Black and had said in interviews that he wanted to lead a stable and stuff, some people I think had thought along the lines of Lance Archer because it's just such a natural fit with, I mean, he was working with Jake the Snake and like is also weird and dark and twisty and fun. There's obviously a huge differential in the way they work and their heights. I think that could be great. Brody King, I can't say enough about. Like, I love the way that guy works. I think he's fantastic. That's an endemic fit if I've ever heard one. And Winter is Coming was a huge show of surprises for us. I wouldn't be surprised if like maybe he is cleared if he shows back up here. That could be very, very fun. I also wouldn't hate the other side of that. I wouldn't hate a feud of Lance Archer and Malachi Black. I think that could also sure. be very, very, very fun. But yeah, you did have that moment yesterday and I was like, hell yeah, that would be really, really fun. So I think either way.
This also, and the reason maybe it popped in my brain was because I don't know if you guys saw this on Malachi Black's Instagram. He might have done it on Twitter too, but I follow Instagram a little bit more. He put up this photo a week ago, and you could see it's, you know, clearly somebody risen above, two guys, two things, beings below. And the caption reads, "December echoes and the king will be cursed. January burns and reveals the first." So maybe we get a little something here. Maybe this is kind of what put it in my brain, but maybe we get something happening here at Winter is Coming. Maybe we get a little tease or, you know, something gets alluded to. And then in January, we kind of find out who the first man in would be. And if you're going to do something like that, to me, you know, I guess Lance Archer maybe would be coming back sooner rather than later because I think he was dealing with like a mild concussion or minor neck injury from landing on his head from that moonsault. But I don't know. Let's do it. Sign me up.
I think it's going to be Lance Archer, Malachi Black, and Julia Hart.
Oh, man.
There you go.
I mean, I'm interested to see too what happens with Pac, right? He had his one eye covered, and I think even when they had his one eye covered, I had said, "Can you imagine if he takes that thing off and his eye's infected? Like, you know, he's got a dead eye, just like Malachi Black." I mean, it would all be gold. I'll take it all.
Man. Is all right. Bud Matthews signed to New Japan?
I don't know. It's a question for Millionaire Matt, but
oh man,
he's not here.
Is that the Winter is Coming surprise? Bud Matthews and Malachi Black. Oh man,
could be a surprise. Could be a big surprise. Well, Winter's Coming. We'll find out next week. We have one more match in this show, and it's the main event: the American Dragon, Brian Danielson.
Americaniel Dragonson, respectfully.
Oh, my apologies. Who's that?
The Americaniel Dragonson.
Yeah, but who's is that something you came up with, or is that a Danhausen?
Oh no, that's me.
Oh, that's you. I'm mixing up my Danhausens because remember, Kate, the rule on this show is that anything we take from Danhausen, we have to give him credit. I believe he gets 10 cents for anything you use and give him credit for anywhere in the world.
Otherwise, up yours.
Oh, just don't swear. No swearing. Bryan Danielson versus John Silver in our main event. Let's just cut to the end here. Even though the hometown boy puts up a fight, Bryan Danielson wins referee stoppage with the rings of Saturn. And post-match, Danielson recounts Uno, Colt Cabana, Angels all have their heads kicked in. And John Silver, well, didn't happen, but he's a man of his word, and he promised to kick his head in, just like he's going to kick Hangman's head in next week. He waves off the medics in Remsburg, wrists clutched. He stomps John Silver's head in, and that's when Hangman comes out to make the save. Adam Page grabs the mic says next week he's going to stomp the cowboy shit out of Danielson, and that's the show. So winter is coming. That match should be a banger. And this was a good way, I think, to go to winter is coming and build this, because Kate, we had talked about it. And again, it's like a broken record with us, but we had talked about it with Kenny. We wanted to see Kenny run through the entirety of the Dark Order. Danielson pretty much just did that into his build to this match. So I love that. But Schlong, what did you think of the match?
I liked some of his other matches a little bit more, but it was still very good. I mean, they were an interesting mix of styles. I love when Silver had Danielson in the heel hook and he was getting kicked in the head and he just was smiling and doing looks like that. It was a perfect play on his character. You can't have a bad Bryan Danielson match. So it's hard to say anything less than I enjoyed it wouldn't be right. I think this was more about the story within the match than the moves they were pulling off. Whereas I think some of his other matches that was flipped. The post-match stuff is where it got really fun. So Danielson was the best I've seen him acting wise in the post-match stuff, I think, this turnaround than he was any time other than this.
Him being stunned that Hangman actually came out to beat the shit out of him. There was a moment where Danielson just going up the ramp was just like kind of had this look of disbelief that Hangman actually came out and did that to him. My goodness. Like, this match was similarly like not my favorite. It's so hard with being there live because you're so hot the whole time that, like, you know, you're kind of coming down the home stretch. I think the spot that you alluded to where Silver was just like, keep kicking me in the head, bitch, was really fun. I do like that this made Silver feel a little bit more credible because he had the longest time with Danielson, I think, in all of these. So it was, if they all went this long, I don't think John Silver feels like as big of a deal, which I really like. I just, to me, there's a few things. I've loved the entire time that Danielson wins with multiple finishers because he's really fucking good. And I just think that's really fun. Him now being a heel doing that is such like, it's like every one of those finishers is a fuck you. I can beat you this way. I can beat you this way. I can beat you this way. Like, I loved it always, but to do it as a heel is just like, for some reason, it feels like so dick to me of like, oh God, this is how great I am at this. But you're right in that the acting wise is that he's sincerely one of the best wrestlers in the world. I said it before, like it's weird in real time watching someone that's going to be on a lot of people's Mount Rushmores. And I think is on mine firmly, like for now. Yeah. We'll see. But I think getting to watch that in real time is so special. I don't think anyone saw this coming from him. I don't think anybody had him turning heel before Punk did. I don't think anybody had him being a smarmy dick like this. I think people just, you know what? We will have, you know, these flavors of things, but it's mostly going to be a face versus face thing with him and Hangman. I don't think anybody was like, Danielson's going to be a heel. I think everyone was kind of like, we'll walk the line a little bit. And he turned, and it's great. Like, I've really liked this. And part of it is that, you know, I think it's easier to carry the acting side of things when your character isn't as cartoonish and, like, in WWE style. Like, I loved the Planet's Champion stuff. If you can't tell, I like heels that are a little bit right. I love Straight Edge Society Punk. Like, I like heels that you're kind of like, I mean, he has a point, but he's such a dick about it. Like, I love that stuff. So I was very in on that heel run of Danielson's as well. But this is just so much more organic and accessible, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to see this, and it's very special to have gotten to see him live a few times while he's doing this, because I haven't seen someone that's the best in the world, sincerely, especially in ring wise, doing this in the time that I've been a wrestling fan. Like, I didn't watch Brett in real time. I don't watch Eddie in real time. Like, this is really fucking
cool. You mean
cool.
You didn't watch Sean in real time? I understand.
Also him, but I think Danielson replaces him for me, to be honest. So,
smart.
And to me, Punk is one of the best to ever do this, but in a totally different way. Like, he's so psychologically smart, and the storytelling side of things and promo side, like, I love him for that. But like, in the ring, he's very good and can hold his own. It's incredible watching truly one of the best to ever do this, and seeing him live a few times and seeing him do something so different than I'd seen him do before. It's really cool. But I just, that moment of him being stunned that Hangman actually did it, I was like, God, he's really tuned in right now. He's really, really tuned in right now.
And Kate, you've gotten to see, because I was at a bunch of these shows you were with, you know, Danielson and AEW. We've been lucky enough to play the face and the heel in this run
already,
at AEW Live, which is kind of cool. Yeah. And to your point about him kind of like being kind of that dickish heel, like, I can beat you with this submission, or if you'd like, I can beat you with this submission. The icing on top for me with that is the fact that every time he does, he's doing it with a smile.
Yeah.
He's smirking the whole time. Remember the first one? I think it was it Uno, or maybe it was a Colt? One of them, he had the submission on locked. It was something with his legs. He didn't have his arms locked in, and the whole time he was smiling and flexing. He just was smiling and flexing, and then every time he's doing it, it's perfect. He's great. It's great.
But that smile, that dickish nature, is what made his shocked look when Hangman finally lost it so much better, because it's that stuff that ties so well in together, with that, like, he didn't really think Hangman would come down and attack him, and he did. Like, that makes the story, just, it's a small moment. It's not critical to the story, but it makes it better.
Sure. And I think that this whole run to his shot, right, I think is perfect, because after this match, and I think I think it's safe to say we all assume Hangman's going to hang on to this title, right? I mean, I would assume that. You never know, but I think Hangman's going to hold on to this title. I think this is a good way for them to be able to basically be able to set Danielson on whatever path they want from this point. If they want to keep him heel, he can do that. But if they want to turn him back face, the easiest thing at the end of this match would be for him to get up disappointed, but stick out his hand and be like, you showed me, you've got it, you know, and kind of give the nod of approval to Hangman. So it automatically can turn him back face. Like, it's so perfect. They've done this great, and I can't wait to see this match next week. So winter is coming, ladies and gentlemen. Next week, December 15th, winter is coming. Great show last year. Hope it's going to be a great show this year. And I said it before, do not miss Rampage. Do not miss Rampage. DVR it if you have to. Yeah. You do want to see Hook.
You really do.
You want to see Hook.
He looks jacked.
You're going to be surprised. That's all I'm going to say.
There's videos out of him walking to the ring, so I've seen what he looks like in his boxer gear, which was a funny choice to me that he chose boxer gear, but maybe it's because he's got that hook.
You're going to want to watch.
You seriously are.
And by the way, the The opening tag match was phenomenal too.
Yep.
It was really strong.
Honestly, if it wasn't phenomenal, that would be the bigger shock.
I
was just gonna say, it's like a clean finish is a nice thing, and we finally got that in this feud.
Yeah. And the only thing that would be better at some point, maybe a hook. Maybe, you know, he's a slim guy. He's not his father. But I'd love to see him in a singlet at some point. It would just be really fun to see him in a singlet in the orange and black.
That would really be awesome.
Oh, man. Well, we're riding this train to the station, so let's get a couple things that came out over the past few days. So we said before, Revolution, AEW's Revolution pay-per-view, will be taking place on Sunday, March 6th, and it will be in Orlando, Florida, at Addition Financial Arena on the campus of the University of Central Florida. So when they do that pay-per-view, basically they said they'll do a weekend spectacular. March 4th, Rampage will take place. March 5th, they'll do their Fan Fest. And March 6th, they'll do Revolution. Tickets do go on sale December 17th at 10 a.m. Eastern time. There will be limited combo offers available. So if you're in the area, check it out. If you haven't seen AEW Live too, Kate, I think I can speak for you and perhaps Ryan when I say definitely head to their live shows. They're a lot of fun and the crowd is way into it. It makes it so much fun. Check it out.
Sean always says that, like, if you're a wrestling fan at all, going to a live AEW experience is something you should do. Like, whether you're super tuned into the product or not, like, just because it's such a fun environment to be in. Like, if you have the slightest interest in wrestling, it's so worth going to, because it's just, the environments are always so hot. Like, it wasn't even sold out when we went yesterday. And it was still a super, super hot crowd.
Yep. I mean, the people who want to be there are way into it. And it is so much fun. So definitely check it out if you can. And I haven't been to one of their pay-per-views yet. But I can imagine if the crowd is lit up for a regular Wednesday night show, it has to be amped up for a pay-per-view. So if you can get to it, try to get to it. The other thing we mentioned was obviously the Cody Rhodes title shot. He said Christmas Day. And the reasoning for that is because TNT does the marathon broadcast of A Christmas Story for 24 hours straight on Christmas Eve. They've been doing it since 2004. They're not going to be moving Rampage to a different network. And I think it's maybe a smart move because I'm sure there will be a lot of people at 10 p.m. on Christmas Eve who are probably going to be busy doing other things. So they are just moving the show to Saturday for that week. On December 25th at 10 p.m., you can check out the Christmas edition of Rampage on TNT. And I think last year they did some vignettes for A Christmas Story. I think they also had some vignettes this year. If not, maybe they'll re-air last year's, but they were pretty funny with the wrestlers reenacting scenes from A Christmas Story. A lot of fun.
MJF Ralphie is a pretty great.
Yeah, fantastic.
Pretty great move.
The other thing, two things to note on Chris Jericho. One, he's currently on tour in Europe or the UK with Fozzy, but he did an article he did an interview with Newsweek, he says he's proud of helping AEW kind of build it into the whatever brand it is. They don't really need him 52 years or 52 weeks a year, but he is not planning to retire from wrestling. He said, there's no reason to stop for me because it's fun for me to work with this whole new generation of stars that are growing into their own and helping them. I think when you kind of live in the now, it makes things a lot better, a lot more important, and a lot more special in what you are doing. I think we've done a great job with that, and we've really only just begun in a lot of ways. If I didn't enjoy it and I didn't have fun with it, I wouldn't fucking do it. So Jericho will continue on. However, it is worth noting that Jericho and Fozzy did cancel their show tomorrow. Well, you know, Friday in Swansea, Wales. Apparently, Chris was checked into a hospital by doctors. They did say that it is a non-COVID related treatable health issue. So they did cancel the show. There were no updates at the time on Saturday's show. They're supposed to play Saturday in Nottingham and Sunday in London. He's been over in the UK. That's why he hasn't been on TV. We'll see what happens next for Jericho. Hopefully, it's nothing too serious. Something that came out was TK did an interview on My Mom's Basement with Robbie Fox. Basically said that the WWE reached out to him about interviewing wrestlers for future projects. He said, "I heard from them recently. I'll break the news here. There's a lot of biographies and they wanted to use some of the people in AEW. They want to interview some of the people that wrestle here, that used to wrestle there, and some people that have had history there, the other libraries that they own. And so we'll see. I think I'm open to talking. I heard from them and they were very nice. I'm considering some of those requests on some of these biographies. And it was actually a very nice call I received the other day, but I never actually talked to Vince himself." He threw that thing in about Vince because they asked him about if he ever talked to Vince. But man, when you think about it, why would you keep your talent off the competitor's network in any way? Just have them show up. Sometimes it's funny. I guess the YouTube algorithms will often show me something from the WWE YouTube page. And Kate, I thought you might find this funny. The other day, it showed up my algorithm, and I think it was Eddie Kingston and Evolve, some sort of match. But then I looked at the date. I was like, did they really just post this? But it was from, like, you know, 5 years ago or something. Like, the algorithm just caused it to pop up.
They did. He was in a stable called, I think, The Unwanted.
Yeah, I think that's right.
They did some great work in Evolve. Evolve was a really great promotion.
Yeah. Yeah, but it wouldn't be the first time AEW talent appeared on the network. Jericho appeared there for the Steve Austin podcast. So just makes sense when you think about it, right? Have your talent show up on somebody else's network and get some free advertising? Why not?
Hell yeah.
And then I think maybe some of the biggest news, and this may be fantasy booking time for us here, but there are a couple of guys who are outstanding who just left NXT. Word on the street is Gargano has not re-signed with NXT, and Kyle O'Reilly is open and out and available. So I'll pose it to both you guys, because I'm not super familiar with the NXT product. Gargano, O'Reilly. Do you want to see them in AEW? Do they need to be in AEW? And, if so, like, you know, what makes sense for you? I mean, just to throw this out there, I know the history between O'Reilly and, you know, Cole and Fish and everybody else who had been in Ring of Honor at some point. Like, I know that history is there, so that kind of makes sense. But do you actually want either one of these guys there? Kate, let's throw it to you first.
Yeah, so just for a little bit more context with Gargano, the way his last episode of NXT ended, it felt like the door was very much open for who the hell knows. His wife, Candice LeRae, who's also a very skilled wrestler in her own right, is pregnant and expecting in February. So the way they ended NXT was he did his, what looks like now, a shoot retirement speech, and then a heel that they're really trying to establish as a top guy who has not felt that way came out and attacked him and basically said, "This isn't your place anymore." So a lot of people were like, "Well, shit, is he going to the main roster? Is he going away for a little bit and coming back to NXT and they're going to feud with these two? Or is this just how he's leaving?" Like, it did sincerely feel like nobody knew what was going on. I thought he didn't make any decisions. I just assumed that he was just going to go be done for a little bit and then reevaluate. Who knew? Like, if Ring of Honor's back up and running, maybe he'd want to go there. Maybe he wants to go work the indies and make a ton of money. Like, NXT doesn't pay as well as people think most of the time. So, but it came out today through Fightful family. But that NXT and WWE had been over the past couple months really trying to give him contract offers and move him to the main roster, and that there were much better offers than he had gotten in 2019, sorry, when he had moved up with Ciampa at the same time. But that he is done. Candice LeRae's contract also ends in spring, but there are no details about whether her contract time is frozen due to her pregnancy, and it hasn't been discussed internally. So there's all that background information. Kyle O'Reilly, I think, is an obvious one. Like, there's just too much history there. The stable is sitting right in front of you. It seems very telegraphed he's going there, the way Don Callis was on the phone last week and them saying undisputed era and all these things, right? Like, it feels like that is already in the works. And Gargano was an interesting one because, man, we talk about it all the time. Like, it feels like it's getting crowded there, right? And Gargano was one of these guys like Cole who really, I think, was truly the heart of that place. And I think it was easy to forget how good he was because of what's happened there the past year. But before AEW, that was the closest thing we had to pro wrestling on TV was NXT. And he did a lot of really, really great work there. And he's very, very good at this. I'm all for it. I don't know how much more room there is left. Somebody had thrown out that a heel Orange Cassidy versus a face Johnny Gargano would be a really, really fun program. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think an OC heel turn would be great. My Tuesday night co-host said he thinks that a heel Orange Cassidy should do his like lazy kick spots with like a steel chair. I think that would be great. He's a great worker. He's kind of like in this Tony Nese vein where you're like, holy shit, when these guys get in the ring, they're fantastic. And he really stretched his character abilities this past year too. So I think he's great. I think this was bigger news than Kyle O'Reilly because I think there was sincere ambiguity around it. If so, I don't think it's like a he shows up next week kind of thing. I think truly we might see him like in the spring because I think he has not taken time off as a wrestler in forever and he really is going to go be a dad. So, but the news that came out today, I think confirmed like, A, he is actually leaving and B, WWE was trying to get him to stay, but he doesn't really fit on the main roster and he definitely doesn't fit into what NXT is now. So it's going to be interesting. Like, I don't know what happens with Ciampa either. I sure as hell don't know what happens with Samoa Joe, who had just re-signed there. And then they gutted everything that he resigned to. So it's going to be interesting to see when people's contracts are up, what happens. Like, I think Kevin Owens is as good as gone too. I think Gargano in a TNT title level type thing would be great. I think Gargano versus Darby Allin would be insane. Gargano versus a Daniel Garcia would be great. Gargano versus, Gargano versus Danielson would be insane. Like, there's a lot of good things that could happen there. And especially because he's kind of in that middle spot where he's definitely a veteran, but not like such a veteran. He's like the guy that would be putting guys over. I think he can kind of float either way really well, where he can make a lot of guys look good, but he's not going to be like the household name there in the same way that a Danielson or a Punk is. So I'm all for it. I just don't know at what point you start to cap these things and whose contracts you want to leave room for, because I think I've said since the beginning of AEW, if there was a WWE steal for me, it's KO. Like, that's the fucking guy that you want to come over there. So, but it does seem like Tony Khan will just keep producing hours of wrestling as long as it's good wrestling. So I'm into it. Let's go.
Yeah. The interesting thing about kind of all of this, right? You know, and you mentioned obviously the big names out, not, you know, big names, but the names out there right now are O'Reilly and Gargano, because they just exited NXT, right? So, but obviously you mentioned Kevin Owens. The interesting thing about all of this is all of these guys are coming available at a time when AEW is entering the first kind of phase of contracts being up, right? So there's definitely ways for them to kind of be able to say, we're not going to renew you. we're going to basically sign, you know, a Gargano or an O'Reilly, maybe somebody a little more polished than some of the other talent that they've kind of signed and kind of got them to this point. You know, they can start doing stuff like that. But yeah, Kate, I'm with you. Like, if Kevin Owens is available and looking, we're doing whatever we can to bring him in. But Gargano would be interesting. And O'Reilly, the stories that they could tell with him and everybody else, you know, it's just, it's there, right? Like, it's just right there for the taking. And then to your other point, just interesting, you mentioned it about Candice LeRae's kind of maternity time. I don't disagree. He wants to go and probably take some time and be a dad. And, you know, he has that flexibility now. But you said, you know, depending on what goes on with her contract and the maternity time, I think historically the E tax that onto your time because, you know, it's just something they do. So the thought I think that I've read in a couple places, the fact that they'll tack that time off onto her contract. So she probably won't come up when it's supposed to come up. And, you know, it'll be shortly after whenever that time then ends. But, you know,
I just we'll the only thing that might not keep that, like, I don't think you can classify pregnancy as an injury. So, like, from a legal standpoint, I don't know if they would be able to. But you're right in that when it's convenient for them, like they're doing with Ciampa, like he was out for, I think close to like a year and a half, maybe well over a year, with very severe neck issues. So, sorry, my voice is starting to go. I just, that'll be interesting. And I also don't know if it'll matter. I don't know if, you know, having kids changes you. Like she might not want to do it anymore. She might want to go to Impact, whatever. Like there's always options. I don't think they're necessarily contingent on each other, but I'm sure it's nice to go to the same place to work as your wife. Like that would be great. Yeah.
We'll see. Schlong, what are your thoughts on, you know, Gargano and O'Reilly, and even if you want to throw in Kevin Owens.
Owens is too early, though. Obviously, all signs point to it. O'Reilly makes the most sense because he walks into a main event stable right away with a main event story. So there's absolutely no reason for him not to. I don't think WWE would have to throw literal truckloads of money at him because they're not going to use him properly. They haven't been using him properly in NXT. So why he would stay for any reason other than just insane amounts of money, which if you're getting that good, take it, enjoy your life, but make sure most of it's up front because they will cut you down the road. Gargano's tougher because he's great. It's just you don't bring him in and make him mid-level. I mean, you have to make him upper mid-level. Like he is
mid.
Yeah, he's not low card. He's towards the top. Though Kate and I were talking about this before the show, AEW with their now Gargano doesn't fall into this. It's the rest of the wrestlers that do. But AEW isn't like WWE with their contracts, which is you're here and you're only here. They're very much like a lot of their guys are per appearance. A lot of their guys are allowed to go other places. So they might have way more capacity for wrestlers than we think they do because they're doing it so non-traditionally for a company their size, where like we think, man, they got to cap out soon. And Tony Khan could be like, not really. Like I only pay most of these guys when they're here. I only have a few that I pay all the time, or I pay them less because I let them work other places, which is fair. I mean, if you're going to let them work. So I won't be sad if he goes to AEW because he's so talented. He's going to thrive wherever he goes, but I also won't be shocked if he doesn't because he's got the fit for him, skill, talent, and ring wise, he fits perfectly with AEW, but there's just so many guys there. So they got to really have a plan for him if he's to come in. Though I could see him doing a partial deal. I'll come in, run a bunch of dates, leave, go somewhere else, run a bunch of dates, leave.
I could absolutely see Johnny Gargano being someone that takes an appearance deal, even though he doesn't feel like an appearance guy. Cause I feel like the reason you don't want to do that is because someone's not developed enough and you don't want to take that risk on him. I think there's a very real possibility that Johnny Gargano says, I can go clean up on the indies, work whatever the fuck schedule I want and be here for 20 dates or whatever. I was thinking New Japan's a fit. But he's an interesting one because you're like, Impact's not a fit for that guy at all. in the main roster isn't a fit. Like, if ROH were open, he's the guy you anchor ROH to alongside Gresham. Like, it's so obvious to me that that's your other guy with Gresham. Like, you have those two, but ROH is up in the air now, too. That's why I think he might just be strategic and wait till spring. Like, what is ROH going to do? Because even if ROH ends up being a super indie, Gargano might be like, yeah, who gives a shit? That's great for me.
Right. So, I mean, look what it's done. Look what it's done for some of these other guys, right?
Look at Cardona.
I mean, Cardona, but even look at what happened when Cody left and went to Ring of Honor. I mean, like, look, I mean, is everybody going to run off and start a new company that becomes like what AEW is? No, but it is absolutely possible to leave a major company, join an indie, make money, you know, gain a following and go do something else if you want to. But I'm in agreement, Ryan, like there's when you kind of look at the way that AEW does business, sometimes it is appealing because you don't have to just be locked into them. You can go work other places. You have multiple revenue streams you can kind of get money from. So it'll be interesting to see what these guys do. I did see an interesting tidbit that kind of crossed after the news broke that it looks like it's kind of for sure Gargano is not re-signing with NXT or WWE, is that and you'd have to check me on this, Kate, because I haven't watched NXT in a long time, but the little tidbit I saw was that Gargano leaving means that 6 of the last 9 holders of that NXT title are no longer with the company. And I know off the top of my head, I believe Andrade was one. Mm-hmm. I believe Malakai Black was one. I think Karrion Kross, he's not anywhere, but I think he was most recently one, right? Mm-hmm. Gargano definitely is one. So that's 4. I just don't know who the other.
Keith Lee.
That's another one. And
that's 5.
Okay. It's also not even just that. It's like 11 of 17 North American champions or something. Right. Like
it's crazy.
And tag champions, my God.
Adam Cole.
Oh, perfect.
That was the 6th one. Yeah, Adam Cole.
So even out of the 6, right? Andrade, Malakai, and Adam Cole are now with AEW. it's crazy to see the people who they put the belt on to help carry them, and then they're just not there. It just seems crazy. And that they don't seemingly know what to do with these guys when they became popular in essentially their minor leagues, and they decide we've got to bring them up to get more exposure for this, you know, main product, that they just don't know what to do with them. That filter between what worked for NXT and what they think won't work for the main show is incredible.
That's what we've had a couple of discussions about this of, is NXT 2.0 successful? And my thing has been, it's going to be more successful in how they hand off to the main roster for sure. But the main roster is doing the worst numbers viewing wise and live selling wise than it's done historically, like historically bad, that is. So like, it'll be more successful in the function that it's creating. It's not going to be a good product. And I don't even know if it's going to be a TV product moving forward. Like, this is not good television. This is everything that's wrong with the main roster, with guys who don't know what they're doing yet. So it's just like,
right,
very, very off. But it's this AEW in general, and these rounds of releases that we've seen so many of them be from NXT and NXT handoffs, A, it feels like they just are trying to massacre everything that was built by Triple H, and B, like, it's really just highlighted how bad the handoff from NXT to the main roster has been. Like, it's just been not for the men. For the women, it works still. Like, Bianca Belair is a huge star. Like, I don't know why the connection is there better. There's obviously Nikki A.S.H. and Rhea Ripley, and there's been muddiness.
I actually have a theory on that one, though. And it's basically because before the original crop of NXT women came up, there wasn't a huge women's division that had talent. So they had to accept them. So, like, they didn't have a choice to be like, screw you up, because that was right at the beginning of the revolution. You know, the real steps were when they brought up the four horsewomen, all that. So they had to accept them. Whereas the men, they're just like, no, you fit into this thing that we've been doing for 20 years.
Yeah, that makes sense. But it still had been better up until recently. Like, that was, what, 7 years ago? So, like, even up until recently, that was just better. But I think you're right in that, like, the women built it into it themselves. They built their own success and were, like, selling merch and earning TV time. So you're right in that regard, for sure. But yeah, it's certainly an interesting pickle.
Been good for AEW.
Been great for AEW. Yeah. And it makes sense, right? Like, the NXT champions that were there were the closest to what AEW is doing. It would make sense that the people that were most successful on the closest reaching brand, that makes sense that they would want a few of those guys.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens at the year turn, because Gargano will be out there. O'Reilly will be out there, assuming they don't sign anywhere before the new year, because they're both going to be, I think, new fathers. So we'll see what happens. And then we got KO coming. We've got a bunch of AEW contracts expiring. So it should be an interesting time. Could be a little bit of a talent transition time in AEW, but they've got plenty of talent there right now. And even just the interesting thing about talking about bringing some of these guys in is, to Ryan's point earlier, if you introduce trios titles, we essentially don't have some of these problems, right? You bring O'Reilly in, Cole, Fish, and O'Reilly could vie for trios titles. Even Gargano could fit in with some of these other guys in a trio spot, although I think he can stand alone on his own in a couple feuds. You know, there's a lot of ways they can go. So, interesting times, fun times for wrestling and all these discussions. Well, unless you guys have anything else, let's head home. Ryan, we know where you are on Mondays and Tuesdays.
You can follow me at Mark Order Pod, because I don't tweet personally. I mean, I do. I just use the thing, the podcast account to do it. I will live tweet Dark and Elevation, assuming I'm not at a hockey game. But as long as I'm home, I will live tweet it.
Kate, where are you going to be?
Well, I'll tell you where I'm going to be on Saturday. And that is with you. Final battle at Ring of Honor and in a haunted hotel room with you and Matt. But Fridays, you can catch me with Sean Rassap on Fightful YouTube doing the AEW Rampage and SmackDown post show. You can catch me on Tuesdays on Sour Graps. We're starting to do paywalled bonus episodes. I'm so sorry in advance, because we don't have a time limit on those, so we go later than this show. And of course, every Wednesday back here, all things All Elite with you wonderful humans. If we're not live,
that's right,
at the shows. Which That's we right. will be for two more over the next couple months, it looks like. One yeah. in January, one in February. So
that's the hope. At least for February is the hope. Matt's not here, but we will plug him. Whoa, that came out wrong. We will plug for Matt. Matt appears here when he can on Wednesday nights when work doesn't get in the way. But he is on Monday nights with the Shining Wizards as well. They just celebrated their 10-year anniversary. So check them out, the Shining Wizards, Monday nights, 7 p.m. They're also on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. But they've been doing great interviews, killer stuff going on that show. So definitely check it out. Check out their archives, too. A lot of good material with the Shining Wizards. That, of course, is Matt, Tony, and Kevin. And as Kate said, the Mark Order podcast will be, well, three quarters of us, Ryan declined our invitation, will be...
Not invited. It's very sad.
You know, can I get mine out? I didn't interrupt you, my friend. Let me get the plugs out.
Got receipts, pal.
My gosh. Kate, myself, and Matt will be at Ring of Honor Final Battle this weekend in Baltimore. So if you're going to be there, hit us up and let us know. We'll have some stickers to hand you. We will also be at Dynamite in Newark on January 5th. That is the first show on TBS. So we're excited to be there. So programming note, we'll remind you as we get closer. We'll be on the Thursday probably that week as well. And then we're we're going to try to be in Atlantic City for the February Dynamite as well, because that should be a fun show. We are already spinning wheels on maybe what could happen at that show, because there are a lot of ties to GCW in Atlantic City.
Sure are, pal.
And beyond that, you can follow the Mark Order Podcast on our social at Mark Order Pod, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube. Give us a follow, subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you are watching on YouTube right now or Facebook or Twitter, thank you very much. We appreciate you guys watching and chatting along with us here. If you listen in podcast form, we also thank you. Make sure if you're listening in podcast form, wherever you do, subscribe, like, rate, review, whatever you got to do to help us in the algorithms. And we do suggest you try to check out our show. Go on YouTube. Our YouTube channel has all these shows. It's fun to watch us do all this stupid stuff. You can see Rate the Great. You can see Cruise Director Mike. You can see a lot of the stuff we do. And it's really fun to check out the show in video form. So check us out there, and I'll plug them again. I know we're going to be live and you can pick up stickers from us in person, but if you can't be with us where we're going to be, you can get these stickers just by DMing us and telling us your name and address so that I can personally send you some stickers anywhere in the world that you would like me to send them. And folks, that's it for us. So thank you for joining us on this special Thursday night edition of the Mark Order Podcast. We'll be back next week, Wednesday night, live after winter is coming, to discuss hopefully an exciting show, an amazing title match, and all the other fun that is in store for that show. Schlong, what do you want to say?
So Schlong and good night.
Kate, we can't give any more of these people any rope, because they just want to continually try to put themselves over. My it's goodness.
So true. It's so true.
Oh, my God. Well, thanks again, folks. We'll see you next week. Have a good night.
This concludes the Mark Order Podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Join the Mark Order.